This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Aching, smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile. Through your fear and sorrow, smile, and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through.
Welcome to Place to Be Nation, Pops, Looking Forward, Looking Back, the show that takes a look at the worlds of pop culture and sports, as well as looking back at events and seasons of the past. Here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of Looking Forward, Looking Back. It is our big fall and winter movie preview. I am Andy Atherton, your host, and tonight we're going to go through a lot of great movies and probably end up some not-so-great movies when we see them all, and I'm not going to break it down alone. I've got some company. I've got some help. I have some guests. And what I did was I reached out to the best and the brightest here at Place to Be Nation, and I got the king and queen, or, I don't know, queen and queen, if you will. But... yes, you could hear them laughing away. First off, she is the host of Freak Out Drive-In, the co-host of Talkin' Pop, the co-host of Geek and Sassy over on the Wrestling Feed, the co-host of Talkin' WCW, and the co-host of the ECW Extreme Three-Way Dance, Miss Jennifer Smith. Jenny, how are you tonight?
I had something, but you broke me with that, so I'm good.
That doesn't happen often here.
No.
At least we break Jenny.
I had a clever thing, but whatever. It's all downhill from this point anyway.
It usually is. After I say Place to Be Nation on my shows, dip steadily down.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jenny. Also joining us is her co-host on Talkin' Pop and her co-host on Talkin' WCW, and he is one of the Sarcastic Four over on the Marvel Age podcast, Mr. Tim Cable. Tim, how are you tonight?
Double A, the last time the three of us did a podcast together, I thought it turned out pretty well over on Talkin' Pop. Soft right. Plug right there. Already yeah. Soft plugging away. Mm-hmm. Now, Andy, I don't know how you felt about it, so I guess I have to wonder, is this going to be Andy's revenge here?
No. It's all good. I may have dropped my guard a little too much, but it was all in good fun. So it's no revenge.
It was in good fun.
It was. It was therapeutic, actually, as well.
Good. The idea.
Mm-hmm. That's what we strive for.
That's what you aim for. Yes, I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to whomever you get on your next episode. It's always a fun time and get to know people a little bit better here at Place yeah. Nation, which we greatly appreciate. You guys pulling back the curtain, making people drop their guard.
Oh, thank you. Look, people just tell us things. What can I
yeah.
say?
Yeah, that you have that kind of tone. I was going to say you have that kind of face, but this is an audio podcast, so. Mm-hmm. But.
Got a real face for audio. Yep.
Oh, we love you, Tim. You
speak for yourself.
Oh. I was.
What we do like to do here on Lookin' Pop, this is the regular Lookin' Pop. I don't know if any of you listened to the first sports episode, but I will not be hosting Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports going forward, no pun intended. I am a big sports fan, but my watching, my paying attention to sports has waned a bit in the last few years. I mostly movies, television, this last while, and I don't think I could do Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports justice. So I reached out, and Mr. Roger Morissette, the Cowboy, will be leading those episodes. There's still about three or four a year. So check those out. The first one with Roger hosting should be coming sometime in October after the World Series is over. And it should be a lot of fun. Those were our great guys. We had a great first episode with Scott Criscolo and Peter Winston, my first time on a podcast with Peter Winston. So I greatly enjoyed it. But here we're on Looking Forward, Looking Back. And
I'm really hurt that you stepped over me as the new host of Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports.
Yeah. If Roger said no, if D'Amato said no, if Justin said no, if Todd said no, Chad said no, Glenn said no, then maybe.
How am I anyone's 17th choice when it comes to sports? I mean, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I hope we can get through this.
All right. Okay. I'll endeavor to just push through here.
So this is not Jenny and Tim's first appearance. I'm looking forward to looking back. Jenny, you've been on this. I think this is your third appearance, actually.
I think that's right.
You were on the very first episode. My very first episode as a host. So this is kind of like an anniversary show because it was about this time. It was about this time last year that me, you, Scott, and Glennie got together for this same episode, the fall movie winter preview. So
happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Is that paper? Was that
diamonds? I'm pretty sure.
Wow, shit. Wow, I can't imagine what the second anniversary is. Jeez. But
born.
Yes. And Tim, you and Jenny were both on the hilarious summer movie preview / summer movie wager episode earlier this year.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the Burden Movies edition.
Still ranks as my favorite show of all time that I've been on. And you guys will be back in about a few weeks where we do the summer movie wrap-up and we reveal the results of the summer movie wager. How do you guys think you did? Do you think you have a shot at it, at winning?
Oh, yeah. I like thoughts.
You know, I was actually kind of playing around with preliminary results today at work I spent about 3 hours on it. That's all. It was a busy day. I didn't have a lot of time to do it. And I mean, the season's not over yet, and admittedly, I'm not 100% certain how it's going to be scored either. So sort of guessing a little bit there, but I don't know. Anyway, you figured it. I can't say I saw myself coming out the winner. I mean, I did okay. Jenny did pretty okay too. Mm-hmm. All of us were kind of in that, seemed like we're in that middle tier unless something drastically changes in turn. But I mean, all that's going to change at this point is really potentially the order of some of those bottom few movies. Mm-hmm. Like maybe that 9 and 10 spot swap, I guess there's maybe still time for that, but the movies themselves, you got to figure are a lock.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't think anybody else is cracking the.
I think I know who our winner is going to be, but I don't want to say. I don't want to speak and tell tales out of school here.
Yeah, okay. Well, we also have to do the math for the biggest bomb.
Mm-hmm. So, I think I know what that is too.
I could throw a monkey wrench in. Yeah, I don't see Godzilla's not going to make any more money. Rocket Man's not making more money. Men in Black International. I don't know where Angry Birds Chew is, but I mean,
its budget wasn't so high that it could qualify as like a more of a bomb than some of those other ones. I don't think, even though I had it picked and was sort of hoping for that. Admittedly,
the only movie that could maybe move up a spot could be Hobbs and Shaw. It could move from 9 to 8, take over Detective Pikachu's spot. Other than that, I think everybody's where they're going to be.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I have some math to do over Labor Day weekend to figure this out.
Let's just say a clear favorite was emerging, sort of no matter how you sliced it. So hopefully that. Anyway.
Okay. Well, it'll be curious.
I don't think it's any of the three of us.
Well, we'll see what movie we get forced to watch.
Right. Could be interesting.
Yes. Anyway, so we're here to talk about the upcoming slate. We're not doing a wager for the fall or winter, although we probably could have. But, that's a lot of work to be put together. But so the fall, is a good time for movies. It's not like the summer. You see a lot less blockbusters, but you see a lot better quality in terms of like movies, so to speak, like in terms of acting and all this. I'm not saying that summer blockbusters don't have good acting because, the acting in Endgame was incredible in some spots, and some of the other comic book movies that we see. But this is traditionally the time for horror movies. Jenny loves those. mm-hmm. being the host of a horror movie podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lots, and sometimes you start getting your Oscar buzz movies. So we're going to just going to go through some of the major releases and just give our thoughts and say whether we're interested in seeing it. And, you know, see how we think it'll do, you know, without right. any stakes. So we're going to start off right after Labor Day with a sequel. We have It Chapter 2. I'll read the descriptions really briefly after I do it. 27 years after their first encounter with the terrifying Pennywise, the Losers Club have grown up and moved away until a devastating phone call brings them back. So I am not the biggest horror fan. I do see horror movies, pick and choose. I have not seen the first It because, you know, that clown looks like terrifying to me. I have it in my I've had it in my DVR since it came on the HBO. And I, my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter is like, Dad, it's not that bad. I'm like, says you. So I may try to see it so I can take her.
You should watch it.
All right, Jenny, since you're the horror maven, are you psyched for this thing, for the sequel?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, I was a huge fan of the original movie even when I was a kid. And when they did the remake, I was pretty hopeful about it, but I had no idea I would love it as much as I loved it. That first chapter was pretty legit, and I really love the cast that they have for the grown-up mm-hmm. versions of the kids from chapter one.
Okay.
Mm. And the trailer looks scary as fuck, and so I'm stoked.
Awesome, awesome. Tim, are you a horror guy at all?
Oh, yeah, big time. Maybe not to the extent that Jenny is, but it definitely is in my blood. And like Jenny, like a lot of people our age, I think, I have vivid memories of watching the made-for-TV, the miniseries, of mm-hmm. course. And, you know, watching that back as an adult, you sort of go, yeah, I see why I was so into this as a kid, but it's like not the greatest thing in the world. And when it got that big budget treatment not even last year, I guess 2 years ago, right, with It Chapter One, and to, I guess, a lot of surprise, but really when you look at the nostalgia factor, just the fact that it's got the source material of Stephen King behind it, it's got the built-in audience, you know, it's R-rated, which is often viewed as a liability, but with horror, just all these great ingredients, didn't It Chapter One become like the most successful horror film ever, right?
Quite possibly commercially, yes.
And now we're getting the highly anticipated follow-up that could potentially even do better than its predecessor. It's coming out September 6th. I sort of wonder, yeah, September 6th. I kind of wondered why it wasn't placed a little bit closer to Halloween. There's not a ton of competition there. And even if there was, you figure this would easily trounce it. But I don't know. September has become one of those months that's almost just an extension of that summer blockbuster season. We saw Venom released last year in September, which sort of seemed like a dumping tactic by the studio, but that ended up making a boatload of money. And I think this is going to clean up nicely. So I am definitely looking forward to it, and it will be one of the rare movies I think that I see in the theater these days.
There you go. Like I said, I may see it if I manage to force myself to see the first one beforehand.
Yeah.
Do it.
I know. I know. I disappoint Jenny all the time. Whatever I say, she's like, do something. No, I'm tired. No, I'm not.
It's so funny.
Why are you so old?
Well, I wasn't going to put it that way, but but yes. It's so funny to me, the people who are into horror and the people who just cannot stand watching horror movies. And it's like the reason someone like you doesn't like it is the exact reason that someone like me or Jenny does like it. I don't know. It's so – I can't even really put myself in the mindset of – it just being too freaked out or too scared or too uncomfortable. I don't know what it is. I just – maybe we're just
– we're fucked up, Tim.
Yeah, we're wired differently.
And that's not a mystery.
I know. There are some that I like. I mean, I've seen – I just went to see Ready or Not, which is a horror comedy. It was not scary at all. I mean, you know, it didn't look scary from the trailers. I was expecting maybe it would. Maybe there was some something, and it was no, it wasn't not. They gave a lot away in the trailers. It was more funny than anything. But I mean, there are horror movies like Jenny and I. You know, we've talked about zombie movies. I mean, we watched Dawn of the Dead together, and I watched The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And there are some, like, you know, other movies I love. You know, there was a discussion earlier about The Lost Boys, which is a horror movie.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I mean, there's some scary shit in that movie. You know, if you're youngin', especially, like, I think that came out, what, 88 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Around there. I remember seeing that in the theater. I think I got a little scared seeing it.
Horror has so many subgenres, too. You know, you've got the horror comedies, you've got sci-fi horror, you've got action horror, you know, some of the zombie stuff, which we'll be looking at, you know, coming up on this show. Mm-hmm. But then you got just the truly fucking terrifying horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's what Stephen King adaptations certainly are going to fall into. And that's what we're eagerly anticipating with this sequel.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're going to change genres and go to on the September 13th. We have a little movie called Hustlers. Inspired by the viral New York Magazine article, Hustlers follows a crew of savvy former strip club employees who band together to turn the tables on their Wall Street clients. This is starring Constance Wu, Jennifer Lopez, Julia Stiles, Kiki Palmer. Now, I don't know much about this. Jenny, what do you think of Hustlers?
Okay, I've seen the trailers for this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Good God, J-Lo is so fucking hot. It's just unbelievable. So, like, a movie with her being a, like, savvy stripper and, like, being boss bitch. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Okay.
Really. I mean, I probably won't go to the movie to see it, but I could probably rent that in the privacy of my home so I can watch J-Lo take off her clothes.
Wow. A-Rod's a lucky guy, I guess.
Fucking A, for sure.
Tim, you know anything about Hustlers?
The
movie Hustlers?
What a question.
Not the magazine.
I don't see myself sitting down for this one in the theater. But kind of an interesting premise. It's one that if it comes around on streaming or HBO or whatever, I will remember, oh, yeah, that movie, and probably make a point to watch it if it's regarded as anything worth watching. So I don't know. Is it like another striptease or showgirls type thing for 2019?
I think it's more like an Ocean's 8, but like sexy.
Yeah, sounds more heist oriented, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, one to watch.
Yeah. Okay, so coming out then a week later, on the 20th, we got some very interesting, we got a trio of movies coming out. First off, we have Downton Abbey, the continuing story of the Crawley family, wealthy owners of a large estate in the English countryside in the early 20th century. Now, I don't watch the show. I honestly have no interest in this. I haven't seen it. So, Tim, are you a Downton Abbey fan?
No, not really. And I was hoping someone could smarten me up, because I think for the longest time I regarded Downton Abbey much the same as I did until recently Game of Thrones, which was that show that a lot of people seemed really into that, while I had no problem with, I had no real exposure to either. So it definitely seemed to have its very, very devoted audience for its time. And then kind of seemed like it went away, and you didn't really hear anything about it, like good or bad. It just sort of fell off the cultural radar, which I think happens a lot nowadays in this era of peak TV that we are living in, that we've been living in, where you have all this great content to choose from. And once it ends, and you're sort of like, okay, on to the next thing. And it's like things almost fail to register, even though they are extremely good and in another time would be probably more fondly remembered, or remembered, period. So all that is to say, I didn't know it was getting a movie. I won't be seeing the movie, but I hope its fans are going to be really happy with it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. My girlfriend's a big Downton Abbey fan. She's actually got days off to use, so she's like, she's taking a day off the day it comes out. She's like, I'm going to see it. Nobody bother me. Leave me alone. I don't care. Jenny,
I mean, is the show still going? Has the show ended? Or
I think it ended.
It ended, yeah.
And I think that was part of the whole, like, dropping off thing, because I think that it got to where they didn't know if they were going to have another season, or they had shortened seasons, like the last couple, something like that. I don't really follow it. I know people who watch it, like Tony Schiavone. And
your good friend, Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, my dear, close, personal friend. And but, yeah, their audience is real, like, rabid for that shit. So, like, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they get a movie, and I hope it lives up to, you know, what they want to see in an ending to their show.
Well, yeah, hopefully its fans are happier than Game of Thrones fans.
Right, yes. I would hate for that to happen.
I've actually never seen an episode of Game of Thrones, so.
I watched the last one.
Not like starting it at the end, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and also,
which apparently a lot of people did.
Yeah, just to see it. Yeah.
And this is one of your few chances to see Dame Maggie Smith these days, because she's too old and frail to travel, so she doesn't leave jolly old England anymore, from what I understand.
Fortunate.
Yes, and then also coming out on the 20th is Rambo: Last Blood. Rambo must confront his past and unearth his ruthless combat skills and to exact revenge for a final mission. Of course, starring Sylvester Stallone. Now, I honestly can't tell you last time I watched one of the Rambo movies. I remember I've seen First Blood and I saw Rambo. I don't know if I ever saw Rambo 3. Jenny, you've seen any Rambo movies?
God, if I have, it's been like too many years. I don't remember shit really about the story of Rambo. You know,
I mean, the last one I saw probably would have been the last one they did, which was that, what was it, John Rambo or whatever?
That's right. It was another one. So this is probably the fifth Rambo movie?
Yeah, this would be the fifth one.
Oh, Jesus.
And I got to admit, that John Rambo movie, which I think was 2008, it is one of the most violent films I have ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In a way that it's very gruesome. I would say more so than any of the other films in that series were, which is kind of known for its over-the-top action violence. That John Rambo film was certainly over-the-top, but it's almost – it's grim in its tone. It's almost nihilistic. It's very, like, whoa, what is Stallone been thinking here? What has he been up to? What has he been reading these past few years? And if this follows in the vein of that film, just tonally, what's the rating on this? Is it a R rated?
I'm guessing it's R.
Well, you know, the trailer looked very like generic revenge movie to me. It didn't, you know, I didn't get the feel. It might be a little gratuitously violent, but I didn't get the sense that it was like
Rambo: Last Blood.
Like, crazy.
Well, you see, yeah, the last one was Rambo in 2008, because the one we call Rambo is actually Rambo: First Blood.
Right. There's First Blood, and then.
And there's Rambo: First Blood.
Rambo: First Blood 2, yes.
Yeah.
I'm your worst nightmare.
I remember those coming out. I remember those coming out as a kid. I saw the first couple, but yeah,
I'm just not a Stallone fan. I never was. I never have been. So.
I don't know if this film.
Go ahead.
Yet I'm not seeing that it's got a rating so far.
Maybe not yet. It probably is though. I mean, I still have to see Copland, where I heard he did a good job.
Oh, yeah, Copland's really good.
I mean, I love, like, Demolition Man was on not long ago. I was like, oh, I'm in. Cool Sylvester Stallone, Hachimachi, Sandra Bullock, I'm down.
Mm-hmm. Putting them shells together, finding out what they do.
I can't figure out those fucking shells.
Those shells, what do they do?
And he just goes over to swear at the thing just so he gets enough paper to wipe his ass. All right. Well, I this movie actually looks kind of cool, so I'm not going to say speaker of wiping asses. On September 20th, we have a
movie. Let's not wipe our asses with this
film. We have a movie called Ad Astra. An astronaut travels to the outer.
It's rated R. I just saw.
It's rated R.
Right the last one. Rated R. So, yeah, if that is similar to the last time he did this, it's going to be a bloodbath.
You're in for a treat. All right. September 20th, Ad Astra, an astronaut travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his father and unravel a mystery that threatens the survival of our planet. He uncovers secrets which challenge the nature of human existence and our place in the cosmos. Now, I saw the trailer for this a couple of times, and not sure. I mean, like, this kind of looks like, you know, hey, Brad Pitt's sitting there going, hey, my buddy George did a space movie. Maybe I should do a space movie. Mm-hmm. So it does look cool, though.
I'm a sucker for these sci-fi movies, you know, your Interstellars and your Contacts and whatnot. So
Contact, yes, that's what I was thinking of.
So this is just my shit. I love this shit. And there's a lot of daddy issues going on in that trailer. So that speaks to me as well. But I think it'll be like visually stunning with like very subtly acted quiet scenes and then a confusing ending that nobody understands.
I think you called it.
What was that Sandra Bullock movie with George Clooney? What was that?
Gravity.
Gravity. That's it. That's what this kind of reminded me of watching the trailer. Like, I remember going to see Gravity in the movie, and it was in the theater, the screen that had, like, you know, the bigger thing and the more. And I never heard, like, that movie started and goes to black, and you didn't hear anything. Like, nobody was munching on popcorn, nothing, because of all the, like, the little sound coming around you. And I have a feeling like that's what this movie's going to be like. It's probably going to be, it's kind of like Gravity meets Interstellar.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Interstellar made my head hurt at the end.
I like the cast in this, though.
I hated Interstellar.
And Murph, what are you doing? Okay, Murph. Sorry. But yeah, it's the return of Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler. If you can't have a disaster space movie without Liv Tyler.
And Animal Crackers.
Remember when Liv Tyler was sort of a joke of, you know, in the 90s, nobody took her seriously. I know serious actor Liv Tyler from The Leftovers, my pick for greatest television series of all time, in fact, where she killed it. Showed me, I couldn't believe it was Liv Tyler, but that was her, and she could act her ass off. So
nice.
We'll see if that Liv Tyler shows up for this film, and I would largely agree with your pre-synopsis of it, Jenny. And if that's true, if that is indeed the case, I don't think this will be up my alley, but I don't know. We'll find out. At least it's not a Nolan movie.
Yeah, so. I was gonna say that's your Nolan bias.
That's my Nolan bias. I can't help it.
Well, we'll probably mention him a little later because there's a movie coming out that reminds me of one of his movies that came out a few years ago. All right. So also, let's see. Coming out on September 27th is 21 Bridges. A disgraced detective in the NYPD is giving a shot at redemption. Now this is I guess Chadwick Boseman, his big, leading role in a non-Black Panther movie. You guys, Jenny, you watched this trailer. What'd you think?
You know, it looks pretty good. The Russo brothers are doing this movie, and they know how to tell a story. I imagine the acting would be really good, and the action. There's more daddy feelings in this trailer as well. I think that could end up being like a surprise, like hit movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got J.K. Simmons in there also, who kills it every time. Sienna Miller and Taylor Kitsch. Tim, you know anything about 21?
Taylor Bridges? Kitsch does kill a project pretty quickly.
Those are two downsides there. We've got Oh, man. Taylor Kitsch and daddy issues, not generally what I'm there for, but Russo's, sure. Chadwick Boseman, okay. Can work with this. Maybe these things kind of balance each other out. Again, one that I'll look for once it goes to video.
Probably, yeah.
All right, and a movie that was supposed to come out on September 27th, The Hunt, which I'm not sure quite when it's coming out, but we'll chat on it briefly. 12 strangers wake up in a clearing. They don't know where they are or how they got there. They don't know how they were chosen, but for a very specific purpose, The Hunt. That's starring Betty Gilpin of Glow fame and Hilary Swank, Emma Roberts. This movie was recently, all the marketing was cut off by Universal in response to the unfortunate and tragic shootings in El Paso and Dayton. But also I heard that something they didn't tell us in the trailer was that this was a red versus blue kind of thing going on in this movie. Mm-hmm. And apparently the president tweeted something about it, which may have led to Universal putting the brakes on it. I can't say for sure because I'm, you know, Mr. Non-political at all. So I'm just saying on what I've heard. But the trailer looked fucking cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. That never sounds like an excuse to me. Like, maybe – who's the studio here? Is this –
Blumhouse.
Well, Blumhouse under Universal.
Universal, yeah. Sounds like maybe Universal thought they might have had a turd on their hands, didn't really want to release it, and just found an excuse not to. I mean, you know, sensitivity over gun violence, sure, great. But we're getting another fucking Rambo movie.
Right, I was going to say.
I mean
– And Trailing Bridges. I mean
– Yeah, different studios, different sensibilities maybe, but how – I don't know. It just – It sounds a little – maybe that's just me being cynical. I don't know.
I agree. That sounds like bullshit.
And the Trump stuff, well, there's just as many people who are going to love controversy over Donald Trump getting upset over a movie or whatever the case may be and support it for that reason. Yeah. So – and that just doesn't really fly. I don't know. Maybe this sees the light of day in some form or fashion, but I kind of don't – by the excuse there.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't find the correlation myself, but, you know, the fact that, you know, if the president tweets about a movie and you get if that's true, that's terrible.
Yeah.
All right, so also coming out, let's see, on the 27th is Judy. The legendary performer Judy Garland arrives in London in the winter of 1968 to perform a series of sold out concerts. Now this is starring Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland. Now I think I saw bits and pieces of this and I mean I love Judy Garland. I don't think I'm gonna go see this unless I get dragged there by somebody. But what do you guys think of this movie?
I gotta say I'm pretty into it. I wanna see what Renee can do with this because I don't know. She's a very interesting casting choice. I'm a huge Judy fan too, so I'm just really mostly curious of what they're going to touch on, you know. And it's like the Bohemian Rhapsody like thing for me. Like, how deep are they going to go? How dark are they going to go? And are they going to shine it up, you know, because you could do something good either way, but me, I want to see the darker stuff. And I'm just curious to see if they do that.
It sounds like it might just be a short little period of her life, like around this one performance.
Right. But I was thinking that it might do flashbacks or something. I don't know. Yeah, but
it could be, you know, maybe told like Rocket Man, how it was all around flashbacks around his time in rehab, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's quite possible.
Well, at the risk of being the center of a petition to be removed from the LGBTQ community, I can't say this one is lighting my world on fire. It's a biopic, or biopic for those who are so inclined. And I'm just, that's never my favorite thing in the world. The subject here, Judy Garland, it could certainly be very interesting if they do dwell on some of her dark days and get kind of serious about it. I know that can sound exploitative, but why the fuck are you going to do one of these things if not for
that? Yeah, that's how I feel. And you, like, I did like a deep dive into like the her whole story like a couple of years ago. I got fascinated with it, and I listened to some of her like recordings and stuff that she would do, and she would get like manic and then depressed, and it was just heartbreaking and fascinating.
Contrast between her personal life and her on-screen, how people knew her through her work, is so stark. And there is something there to work with. I just, like you said, I wonder, is it going to be another bullshit Bohemian Rhapsody type treatment?
Yeah. All right. So coming out on October 4th, we have Joker, an original standalone origin story of the iconic villain not seen before on the big screen. It's a gritty character study of Arthur Fleck, a man disregarded by society and a broader cautionary tale. Now, this stars Joaquin Phoenix as the title character, directed by Todd Phillips. Also, Robert De Niro, Mark Maron, and Zazie Beetz include the cast. What do you think of Joker? And it has nothing to do, like, it's its own separate size, so it's nothing to do with whatever DC Universe thing is going or still alive, if at all.
Yeah, I have complex feelings with this because I don't really want a Joker origin story, but when I first saw the trailer for this, I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be good, ain't it? Because it looks good. Like, Joaquin Phoenix is amazing. This style of movie is very different than anything that we've gotten, you know, thus far when it comes to Joker. So I kind of don't hate it. And then I kind of wonder, what's the point of view? So I'm very, very conflicted. That being said, I think it will be good. And I think a lot of people will be surprised.
Okay. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't look bad, say what you will about it. And I similarly have very conflicted feelings about doing a quote-unquote definitive Joker origin. But, I mean, it is a movie. It's not like this is coming from the source material or presumably will invade the source material, so they can sort of do what they want with it, I guess, as far as I'm concerned. But there's a part of me that just kind of wishes this was the same type of movie and Joaquin Phoenix was playing the same type of character, but it wasn't the Joker, you know? Mm-hmm. That it was just kind of this character study about whatever this is going to be about, because we aren't entirely sure yet. Mm-hmm. We've seen bits and pieces, but it's hard to have a coherent sense of what this film is going to be. And that seems very much by design. I don't know. It's an interesting choice because Warner Brothers is sort of going to that well where they know Joker is such a popular character. They want to capitalize on that. So this has the potential to be kind of just a vapid, very superficial reading of the character, just a cash in, right? Mm-hmm. But from all indications, there's going to be a bit more to it than that. And I don't think someone like Joaquin Phoenix would be attached to the project if that's all it really had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I will be seeing this, not knowing what to expect from it. But if it's not to my personal preference, I do think there will be a lot to say about it. It will be, I don't know. It's I'm going to be looking forward to what some of our cohorts think of this as a bit more attached to this character.
Oh, yes. Yes. Around that time, place to be with all of our comics coverage, which Tim is part of, and Jenny, you do a little bit on Geek and Sassy. So pay attention, because I'm sure there's going to be lots to say. The Hard Traveling Fanboys will probably have some stuff to say. The manager Todd Weber, Mr. Sellers, all will have probably have comments. And maybe a Pop Goes the Movies. Maybe Tim will finally make his debut on a Pop Goes the Movies.
Oh,
no, if I actually see something.
Actually, yes, that's the big joke. That's kind of what happened with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You know, the kind of joke was, you know, you have to see the movie in order to do the podcast.
Yes.
So to speak, as I heard talked about on a recent show.
Yep.
Coming out also the same time as The Joker is a movie,
I think. It's recommended.
Yes. That's kind of a requirement. Coming out the same time is something called The Current War, which I think was supposed to come out a couple years ago, because according to IMDb, it says 2017. But it's the dramatic story of the cutthroat race between electricity titans Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse to determine whose electrical system would power the modern world. If that doesn't shout excitement, I don't know what does. Well, if you look at the cast, though, it's got Tom Holland, Benedict Cumberbatch. You know, it sounds – I mean, the trailer didn't look terrible. I mean, just
– Okay, I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd for shit like this.
Science!
because there it was a legit, like, blood feud between these people and trying to, you know, be the first power producers, whatever the fuck. And they were really, really, really smart. And I just think it's a really, really interesting story. And like you said, they have a great cast. So I think it is nerdy, but I will watch it.
Yeah, we have there's another movie we're going to talk about in B Block. It's similar in just a different industry. Tim, would you have? We know you're not going to go see the Current War
because it comes out, riveting.
It comes out the same time as Joker, so. You know, imagine Tim seeing two movies. Oh my God!
If I could just be the dumbass here and just a bad student of history, conflict or controversy today between Edison and Nikola Tesla?
Tesla's in this too.
Okay,
Tesla's a character, yeah, as well. So,
okay, who's playing Tesla?
It is Nicholas Holt.
Ah.
Oh, okay. The guy plays Beast, or
All the youngish 20 to 30-something British actors.
Okay, so this is the sexy appeal treatment of these historical.
Yes, that's cool. It is.
I realize scientists were so hot. Come on.
You know what? I'll look forward to the porn parody. Okay.
What would it be called?
Chat me up then.
Oh, God. Speaking of, no. So a movie that I don't know if I honestly don't know if I would go see it. It's The Gemini Man. An over-the-hill hitman faces off a younger clone of himself, starring Will Smith and Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Benedict Wong, who we all like, from Doctor Strange, as well as The Martian. Isn't that? I've seen the trailers, and it's like a fart in church. You know what I mean? Like, I just see this being a bomb. So, it just doesn't interest me.
Though. Yeah.
And the de-aging on Will Smith is not, it's not like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or Ant-Man or Endgame even level. It's just not good. So, Tim, did you see the trailer for this one?
I did, and I looked like a Will Smith movie that fell out of 2002.
Yes.
It just – not that it looks like the worst thing in the world, just I don't think it's a movie we really need right now or that anybody's going to care about.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, like because After Earth or whatever else.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Good example.
It just feels like we've seen – and I love Will Smith, so it makes me sad, but
it kind of sounds like Looper. I don't know if you guys saw
Looper. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Looper.
Looper's a good fucking movie.
I love that movie.
So
but it's like it's just the off brand. It's the great value brand of Looper.
Looper was like, you know, your Macy's and this is like your Walmart version of it. And then we have coming out the same weekend, we have the Addams Family, an animated version of the family, starring the voices of Charlize Theron, Finn Wolfhard, Chloe Grace Moretz. Let me see who else is in this. Click on this quickly. There's not a lot of animation coming out. There's some other one that I skipped over, Abominable, that looks horrible. Who else? Pom Klemenoff, who's better known as Mantis, Catherine O'Hara. Mm-hmm. Oscar Isaac plays Gomez, Allison Janney. So it's actually a decent Nick Kroll's Uncle Fester. So it's got a decent voice cast. I mean, I love the two movies that came out in the 90s. I mean, awesome. Raul Julia just...
And
Angelica Houston, like... You look up perfect casting in a dictionary, mm-hmm. and you look at those two.
And that's why I was like, who asked for an animated version of this? Why not do another live action? Because I didn't like the animation style. It looks like Captain Underpants.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which is good for like that sort of movie, but I don't know. It was too silly and like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, this is what we get because we don't get a Hotel Transylvania this year.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is basically like Grown Ups animated.
Didn't the Addams Family have an animated series in the early 90s?
They had a cartoon years ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's like an ABC Kids thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it was like the 80s or late 80s or 90s, actually.
Yeah, Saturday morning mm-hmm. joint.
I mean, I did watch the black and whites and reruns. I wasn't alive yet, Jenny, when it was
out. Oh.
I know you're going to say
Are
that.
You sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
But it's true, though. Those 90s movies are so good that when you watch, at least for me, I mean, this is a generational thing, but when I see those – you know, old reruns of the original black and white show, I'm like, oh, none of these characters look right.
Nope.
You know, because I'm thinking Raul Julia and Jill and all the rest.
Christina Ricci.
Yes, yes. And
I do like the TV show Uncle Fester better, though. I do like him with that funny voice. I mean, Christopher Lloyd was fine, but it wasn't the same Fester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That is fair. But, it's nuts how remarkably well those movies hold up. Like they were really good at the time, mm-hmm. and it's just sort of one of those, that was really good.
Maybe it piqued my interest. Maybe I'll put that on my to-do list for Laugh in Theater. Because, I don't know. I'll try to think which one I would do, though. Would you do the first one or the second one? Because the first one's great. Cool. The second one's so good, too, mm-hmm. with Joan Cusack.
Yes.
I mean, she kills it in that movie. So we're going to wrap up a part one of our show tonight with Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, which is the sequel to that nobody asked for. Maleficent and her goddaughter, Aurora, begin to question the complex family ties that bind them as they are pulled in different directions by impending nuptials, unexpected allies, and dark new forces at play. Starring Angelina Jolie and Elle Fanning. And Michelle Pfeiffer's in this, actually, as well. Mm-hmm. I saw the first one. Can't remember anything about it. Really? I mean, I just remember Maleficent, I guess, was one of those where she started off good and then became evil towards the end. Honestly, I may have fallen asleep during it, so I don't...
That sounds right.
I don't remember at all. So, Jenny, does this look like anything you'd be interested in?
No, I didn't even watch the first one.
Oh, okay.
From the trailer in this, it looks like Maleficent is like the world's worst mother of the bride. She just throws like a giant fit and like, there will be no marriage. And so anyway, it looks stupid and it will probably bomb.
Yeah. Tim, what do you think?
I don't know. I guess that first Maleficent movie did okay, right?
It did well, I guess, the worldwide gross. International.
Must have done good enough. So whoever saw that, perhaps they'll see this. And, yeah, the first one I don't remember a great deal about other than Angelina Jolie's extremely prominent cheekbones, which were Maleficent magnificent. But anyway, this... kind of the Wicked treatment, right? Where it's just giving you her perspective
and a different bit
of her backstory, but I don't know. I don't know what this thing is doing. It seemed like that was a one and done type of premise.
Yeah.
And here we are again. So I don't know.
It's just, you know, it's the mouse mining the vault. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no better place to take a break than on Angelina Jolie's striking cheekbones.
Yes.
So,
Jolie.
We will continue on. We got a lot of great movies to talk about coming down the road, especially including a big, huge movie that we're going to end the show with. But until then, stick around. I got Tim Capel and I got Jennifer Smith. I am Andy Acton. We'll be right back.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Place Nation, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com. For all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I'm going to live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live until I die. They're gonna say, what a guy. I'm gonna play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live, live until I die.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to episode number 5 of Looking Forward, Looking Back here on the PT Fan Pop Feed. I'm Andy Atherton, and I'm joined by Jennifer Smith and Tim Capel, both well-known around these parts. And we're talking about these winter and fall movies coming up in 2019. But first, we're going to talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Jenny, what's going on the Pop Feed?
On the Pop Feed, they are getting charged up. The hard-traveling fanboys go off the page with a look at AMC's Preacher Season 2 Episode 1. Did it improve over Season 1? Do they think they'll actually get caught up on the show now? Spoilers, no. And Greg actually read a whole comic book published in 2019.
Wow.
I know, right?
Good for Greg.
It's amazing.
I've read more comics in 2019 than Greg Phillips. What has the world come to?
What's he doing with his life? Russell and Todd talk about the classic issue Justice League of America number 200 on a brand new DC4U. How does it hold up today? And does Snapper Carr annoy them more than Rick Jones does on Marvel Age? Listen to find out.
Sounds like WCW guys from the 90s, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Snapper Carr, Rick Jones. Apple Car was a WCW Saturday Night Jobber. He had many appearances with High Voltage, who were also getting charged up every week.
Oh, my God, I remember High Voltage. Holy shit.
Charged up. Yeah. As Andy, as you mentioned earlier, the inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, you and the cowboy Roger Morissette, Scott Criscolo, and Peter Winston looked at the upcoming NFL season and then looked back to analyze the most recent seasons of the NBA and NHL.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun.
You again.
I missed that one.
In the year in pop. with you and Scott, with Dr. G and John Arsenio D'Amato to discuss the news, sports, and pop culture of 1977. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to say about that episode?
It was great. It was we called it the Dr. G episode because a lot of stuff that he had fond memories of, including the great New York City blackout, as well as Summer of Sam. From 77, also mine and his beloved Yankees won the World Series. That was when Reggie Jackson hit 3 home runs in 1 game that year, as well as, of course, you know, we know how much Mr. Criscolo and the doctor love Billy Joel. And the Stranger album came out that year, as well as we talked about, you know, Three's Company debuted that year. So we talked a lot about Suzanne Summers' assets, so to speak. Nice. Mr. D'Amato, kind of, yes. Very hachi-machi there for us. And, you know, and then he talked about this subsequent parade of blonde third roommates that happened once she left the show, as well as, you know, a little movie called Star Wars came out that year. Not known as A New Hope then, just Star Wars.
Just Star Wars, right.
So, yeah, 77 was fun, you know. I don't want to tell you how old that was then, but it was a good year.
It's all right. On a new Sunday Groove, David and guest Andy Helene discussed their personal Desert Island discs.
Wow.
The greatest song of the 80s tournament is still going on. We just started round 3 today. There will be 4 polls a day for round 3. So you can like our Facebook page, and then you'll see the polls every day. And make sure to vote for your favorites. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make some picks, Andy?
Sure. You guys down? We'll do.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
let's do it. So we have 8 brackets, and we just started the Electric Avenue region. So we're down. Started at 512, and now we have 128. So a lot of songs are out. Now it's going to be a lot of tough matchups. So, you know, we're going to go at a pretty good pace now. So we should be should only be about 2 weeks or so for this round. To where we get to the 64. So, but in the second half of the Electric Avenue region, we have Tom Sawyer by Rush going up against Land of Confusion by Genesis. What do you guys think?
I know Tim loves Rush so much.
I always vote against Rush on principle. So.
I always vote for Rush.
Okay.
I mean,
I like Land of Confusion, admittedly. It's not just a bias thing. I mean, it's a good song.
I do, but I think it's making it. I think it might have made it as far as it has based on the video.
Because
the video was all those creepy puppets.
That's true. That's a pretty cool video.
It is very 80s. So.
Potentially more memorable than the song. I could see that.
Tom Sawyer, as much as I'm not the biggest Rush fan, I mean, Tom Sawyer is kind of an all timer, at least in this matchup. All right, now we got another good this is a good matchup. Free Falling by Tom Petty versus Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics.
Mm.
Ooh.
Free Falling doesn't really feel as 80s as Sweet Dreams.
Yeah.
You know, that feels more.
Yeah.
Because that's late 80s. I mean, I remember that album more from college than high school, and I graduated in 90, so.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sweet Dreams.
Yeah, me too.
God, this is a heartbreaking matchup. You're right, though. When you look at, you have to kind of give it to the intangibles of which is the more 80s song, and it's definitely Sweet Dreams.
Yeah, that's kind of like if you like both songs equally, then it's like, okay, now let's talk about the significance of the song. And,
exactly.
If Free Falling Gets Limited, I think that could be Tom Petty. That could be it for Tom Petty in the tournament. He had two losses to Duran Duran in the second round.
Oof.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, so then we have Love is a Battlefield by Pat Benatar versus It's Tricky by Run DMC.
Oh, Pat Benatar, hands down.
Really?
Yep.
Yep, same.
I'm going to go It's Tricky, actually. I love Pat Benatar, but Love is a Battlefield is not high up on my Pat Benatar songs. I mean, Heartbreaker hit me with Your Best Shot. You know, actually, even Promises in the Dark, I think. Promises of the Night, whatever it's called. Shadows of the Night, that's it. Where she was the fighter pilot in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final third round matchup in the Electric Avenue region, Faith by George Michael versus Centerfold by Jake Osband.
George Michael.
I'm going.
Yeah, only because if I've heard the other song, I certainly can't hear it in my head right now.
Centerfold? Like Jake Osmond?
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yes. All right. I'm with you.
not Center Field by John Fogerty. Center Fold.
Yeah, I think I heard something else. Still Faith.
Okay. Well, that should be a good matchup. So, yeah, vote every day. We're getting a great turnout, actually. You know, we're getting at least a little over 100. Sometimes, you know, we get flooded with some votes, you know, like when a song like Real American and Mark starts showing up. And I swear to God, that song might get carried. I don't know. At Twitter, we're getting a good amount. So it's been fun. And it's been worth the work that we're putting in behind the scenes. So thank you, everyone. And keep
voting. Did Higher Love lose to Van Halen? I feel like it did. And I'm pretty upset.
That went up. When did that go up? Yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday or the day before? I can't recall.
I could tell you that kind of information because I have that access at my fingertips at the internet. As soon as it loads up on the page,
I'm pretty sure it has since closed. And on Facebook, Van Halen was beating them pretty handily. On Twitter, because I voted twice on this one, it was a dead heat when I voted. So
let's see. No, it's open till noon tomorrow.
All right.
But it's not looking good for Mr. Winwood.
God damn it.
I mean, he's losing 65-36 on Facebook.
I'm going to boycott this whole fucking tournament.
Wow.
That is like.
Oh, it's 58-42 on Twitter.
Yeah. It's.
Sorry. I tried.
It's not going to move the needle, Tim. You know, you're gonna die in the Steve Winwood Higher Love Hill.
Mm-hmm. It's like the most 80s song of all time. Come on.
I mean, it's good, but I voted for Padma. Sorry.
God. Oh,
I know. Just when you think you know somebody, I know. But over on the wrestling feed, there's a lot of stuff going on. You guys are over on the wrestling feed, almost as much as you are over in the pup feed. You had a Talking WCW back with you guys and the aforementioned Mr. Greg Phillips, and you dissect the trifecta of matches featuring the great Rey Mysterio. Anything you guys want to talk about, say about that episode?
Rey Mysterio is a good looking man. He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome young man. Yes, Rey Mysterio Jr. back mm-hmm. then. I guess he's grown up in the year since. I don't know.
Considering his name is Oscar Gutierrez, okay.
Yeah. Either way, he's a nice-looking young man.
That's a fun episode, too, yeah. So listen to that.
It is.
Any talk of him being used as, like, a javelin or a dart by Kevin Nash?
You know, I don't think we actually – we really just focused on the matches.
The in-ring?
Yeah, the in-ring, and we talked a lot about a match that none of us actually picked because we felt like we had to. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
check it out. On the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott welcome Matt Souza to the mothership for the first time to discuss the 11/25/89 MSG House Show. Action wrestling promoter Matt Griffin, stopped to talk to Ben on episode 17 of Rowan Sweetwater. Yeah, I'm fumbling now. Row one, seat one. See what a vanilla milkshake will do to you with no booze in it?
That's right.
That's why you got to put booze in it.
I know. Sorry. It's all the way on the other side. What goes in, Jenny, what would you put in there? Kahlua or you would put a little Jade Jack?
I don't do milk and booze? Alcohol together, no. So I would just drink the booze, probably.
Just drink the booze. My case. Yeah. Fuck the milkshake.
Yeah.
Milk and alcohol. I mean, you can do a Kahlua.
Yeah, I was going to say, like a little Kahlua in there. Maybe
if it's already a milkshake, that's going to end up probably a little too sweet for you.
Yeah, well,
a spice little, rum, maybe?
A little vodka in there, make it like a White Russian.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah.
Boy, you would not get along. You would not get along with the dude, Jenny.
With the dude?
Yes, the dude.
Well, I bet I could drink him under the table.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Depends on if y'all are drinking Caucasians, man.
That's true.
Awesome.
Which may not be your speed if you're not into the milk and the Kahlua and vodka.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, also on episode 3 of the Extreme Three-Way Dance, you, Mr. D'Amato, and JT ran down the entire month of ECW Hardcore TV, including the night the line was crossed. Are you enjoying your ECW education?
I am. It's really fun, actually, and different and very weird and strange and things that I like when it comes to wrestling.
Yes.
And life in general. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
You know what my fear is? My fear is that you're going to end up liking ECW or the WCW.
I kind of thought that, too. But I think that is, I don't know. Oh, we'll have to see, because I haven't seen very much like legitimate wrestling yet.
That's what a lot of ECW was. You know? Right. I know you guys just had 9-1-1, but if that guy just became basically a choke slam.
That's basically all he does.
Choke slam personified.
I mean, a double choke slam if you're lucky.
One of the biggest pops that I ever heard on TV was when, I don't know, Tim, I don't know if you remember when Bill Alfonso banned the choke slam.
Yes.
And then he lifted the ban for, who was it? Was it Big Dick Dudley or somebody was going to do the choke slam?
Somebody like that.
Mm. And he lifted the ban, and then the friggin' Frankenstein just hits, and the place exploded.
Because they knew right
they
away.
They knew. Like, as soon as he goes, the choke slam ban is lift, it's like, the place, like, went bananas.
All of that's raw.
Yeah, so Jenny, enjoy the ride. It's a fun and, like you said, a strange one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also on episode 7 of You Don't Know Billy Jack, Drew introduced Jordan to Saruta versus Tenru from 6589. And don't forget, on PlaceBeNation.com, our tribute to 1994 continues to roll on with lots of great content. We just recently had a piece from Peter Winston about the 1994 baseball strike, as well as a 16 stone piece, the Great Bush album by Mr. Jason Sherman. Also, the Draft War Cruise, you were back with a draft of SummerSlam matches. Read the recap and cast your vote. Had the best draft. Jenny, how'd you do in that one?
I won that one, motherfucker.
Oh, you did? Nice. Oh, so the polls are closed. See, we got to update our libraries a little bit more, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, lots going on. PlaceBeNation.com is we're going to have more content coming soon. Lots of more regular columns, new writers, new voices. So stick around. It's a work in progress, but it's going to be worth the wait. So check it out. So let's continue on looking at the fall and winter movies. And we left off in October, and we have a sequel that we never thought we'd get. Zombieland Double Tap. Columbus, Tallahassee, Wichita, and Little Rock move to the American heartland as they face off against evolved zombies, fellow survivors, and the growing pains of the snarky makeshift family. Jenny, this is right up our alley, right?
It is. It is. And, yeah, I was excited about this. And, you know, I didn't think it would happen, like you said. And then I watched the trailer, and I'm like, okay. I'm glad that everybody from the cast came back. But then it was like they kept showing all these guests.
Yeah.
Actors, like all these surprise people showing up. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I feel like it's now
too much of a good thing.
It's too much.
So like, they might try too hard.
Yeah. And, like, you're going to get too cutesy with it, you know? Like, I don't know. I did not like the trailer very much at all. But, I mean, God dang, they got so much talent there, and that's the only way I could see it, like, not being good is if they just decide to just take it a little too far and forget what the, like, actual charm of the first Zombieland was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you guys, am I being weird?
No.
Mm-mm.
It's always the worry when there's a movie that kind of comes out of nowhere to be a hit. You know, you're worried when the sequel comes around, it becomes like a parody, or they try too hard, or they, you know, it just doesn't work. So let's hope that it's not that case with this one.
Yeah, I have to imagine, as popular as the original is and kind of as hard fought as this sequel was, that people are really going to show up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to actually be any good? Not for me to say, only because I'm really over zombies. I don't care how it's done. Even when it's done well, I'm fine for a few years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just burned out on the concept.
Well, that's fair.
So, but I don't think that describes most people, or largely the audience for this film.
Yeah. So I'm going to go see it.
I will probably see it.
Yeah. You know, Jenny, you and I might do something a little bit before that, right?
We might, yes.
Right. So that goes along with that on one of our
shows. Get charged up.
Yeah, prepare everybody to go out and see this this sequel. That's a tease. Okay, so also coming out that same day is Jojo Rabbit. A young boy in Hitler's army finds out his mother is hiding a Jewish girl in their home. Now, this is directed by Taika Waititi. And apparently, this young boy, from what I understand, has an imaginary friend. And that imaginary friend is Hitler. So, I don't know much more about it.
Don't you hate when that happens?
You know? Is this child my son? Because that sounds like some weird shit that he'd come up with.
I thought I was strange when I had my imaginary friend was Mussolini. Thank you. Thank you for laughing at that
joke. Stalin.
Now, see, I hung out with Francisco Franco growing up.
Man, Taika Waititi is a freaking weirdo. I mean, he's so strange. But he's pretty fucking smart. So I don't know. This might be like a little sort of sleeper type thing, you know, not that I think it will do super well. I just think it might be like low key, really funny and really good.
Yeah. It's going to be
certainly unlike anything else. Movies are okay. It's Drop Dead Fred, except he's Hitler. So.
Yeah, yeah. And what part of that is not funny? I mean, it's funny. And Sam Rockwell's in this movie, and I'm sorry, I just love me some Sam Rockwell.
Oh yeah. Well, we know that our friend Nick Duke will be the first person in line to hear
for sure.
We're looking forward to his review.
Okay. Also, then we got coming up.
But I like Taika Waititi movies. I can't lie. It's a kind of humor that I sort of feel like is not always for me, but I always end up really enjoying his movies. So,
what we do in the shadows is fucking hysterical.
It so, is. Yeah. It's funnier than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see who sees that out of the nation, and what we'll hear. We got Black and Blue coming out on the 25th of October. Yes. It's an action thriller about a rookie cop, Naomi Harris, who inadvertently captures the murder of a young drug dealer on her body cam. After realizing that the murder was committed by corrupt cops, she teams up with the one person in her community is willing to help her, Tyrese Gibson, as she tries to escape both the criminals out for revenge and the police who are desperate to destroy the incriminating footage. Now, you got to be pretty desperate to reach out to Tyrese Gibson. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But Frank Grillo is one of the bad guys, better known as Crossbones.
Yes.
In the MCU. I just recently saw this trailer, actually, for the first time last night. And it looks interesting, actually. And Naomi Harris is great. I mean, she was good in, remember her as Calypso, or whatever her name was, Tidala, in the couple of the Pirates movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's another. This is about time of year when you see gritty cop movies. Mm-hmm. Comes out.
And see, I thought that this was a remake of my favorite interracial porn movie from 1990.
I wish it was. I really do.
Suddenly, I have nothing to say about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Moving on.
All right. Then we got coming out.
That's not even, well, it's a joke, but that's a real, anyway.
So, this is the biggest description we have of any movie. Terminator Dark Fate, plot unknown.
So, wow.
Thanks, IMDb. you were great. Now, basically, it's Terminator. The big deal is that Linda Hamilton, Edward Furlong are back. Starring Mackenzie Davis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, apparently, I guess, Terminators age and grow beards in this movie. I mean, I've been checked out of this franchise for a while. I've seen bits and pieces of maybe the third one, but I didn't see the last one or two. I mean, I remember Judgment Day was awesome. I saw the first movie once. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to see this one or not. You guys, what do you guys think?
Yeah, the Terminator franchise is very interesting because it's very convoluted. I don't know. I watched the last two movies. I have no idea what happened. just incomprehensible for the most part, which is fine. I mean, you know, I actually think this will be pretty good. I don't know what it took to get Linda Hamilton to come back to this, but I would imagine that would have to be sort of strong. Mm-hmm. I like Mackenzie Davis a lot. The trailer looked really good, so I would probably see this one.
All right.
There's a certain core audience of people who will see a Terminator movie no matter what. There's also a core fan base of Arnold Schwarzenegger who will see his films no matter what. I don't know if that Venn diagram is a perfect circle, but there's got to be a lot of overlap, right? So, all in all, having an appeal beyond those parameters may be a little bit optimistic. And yeah, I watched a YouTube video not too long ago, which was a guy with a bunch of flowcharts trying to explain like all the overlapping timelines of.
Oh, that's ridiculous! I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah, in which he basically acknowledged.
Yeah,
and it was sort of unintentionally hilarious, and I am definitely at the point where I'm just sort of done with this. Like, some franchises should just stop. You know, like, they can't go on indefinitely. It just ran out of gas so long ago, and they keep churning these things out. And yeah, they've got two key players back now, but short of doing like a whole just reboot.
Retcon is what I'm pretty much guessing for this.
Yeah. Which I guess they could do, but it seems like it's not really being marketed that way. It's, I don't know. This might suffer for its own marketing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how people are even aware that, like, no, really, this is not another bullshit Terminator movie. This is Arnold and this is Linda Hamilton back. Like, this is a big deal, or we want it to be. They're not really treating it that way, it feels like.
Yeah. This is
we've still got a couple months, though, before they start trotting everybody out.
Yeah.
So, I guess. Hmm.
Also coming out November 1st. Now, I just saw this trailer a couple of times over the last few days. It's Harriet, the extraordinary tale of Harriet Tubman's escape from slavery and transformation into one of America's greatest heroes, whose courage, ingenuity, and tenacity freed hundreds of slaves and changed the course of history. So, basically, it looks like Harriet Tubman is a badass. That's really...
Sweet!
If you watch this trailer, she's just, you know, she makes her escape, you know, and does her whole thing, gets to the North, and then starts making her way back, and she just, you know, is tough as nails and is breaking through and just becomes like, you know, this, you know, don't mess with this chick kind of thing.
I just hope this isn't made by a bunch of white people. I'm sorry.
I knew you were going to say that.
I haven't seen a whole lot of. I'm not really familiar with this picture coming out.
Well,
yeah,
it was. It's directed by a African American woman.
Okay,
so very good. Cassie Lemons, I guess her name. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else she's done. She's an actress, actually, mm-hmm. who has been in. I guess she was in Silence of the Lambs, and she directed Eve's Bayou in 1997. So, she's got some cred here. Let's see. What else did she direct? She had an episode of Luke Cage, The Caveman's Valentine. That was that Samuel Jackson movie, I think, from 2001.
So, I mean, what I'm hearing, not a Ron Howard film.
No. This is,
That's, okay. I mean, no disrespect to Ron Howard. It's just, come on. Optics are important here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's see. What else we got? We got, coming out, a movie that I'm probably not going to see because, admittedly, I've never seen a movie. It's a sequel to. We have Dr. Sleep. Years following the events of The Shining, a now adult Dan Torrance meets a young girl with similar powers as his and tries to protect her from a cult known as the True Knot, who prey on children with powers to remain immortal. Now, this has starring Ewan McGregor as the grown-up kid from The Shining, Cliff Curtis, Jacob Tremblay, Rebecca Ferguson. Ooh, I like Rebecca Ferguson, actually. Jenny, have you seen The Shining? Are you a fan of it?
I've seen The Shining a long time ago. I actually need to rewatch it. I'm a huge Stephen King mark. Mm-hmm. Also, Stephen King adaptations are extremely hit or miss. Mm-hmm. This trailer was real good. I haven't read this book yet. It made me want to read the book, which is good. I don't know. Ewan McGregor is usually pretty great. But then again, you just don't know. Sometimes people get Stephen King and they can put it together in a movie, and sometimes they just can't. I'm looking at you, Dark Tower. But, I mean...
It's no Maximum Overdrive, right?
Yeah. I just watched the new Pet Sematary reboot, and I thought it was really good. So you just never know with these movies. I want to say that I'll go see it, but more than likely I'll just end up renting it probably.
What about you, Tim?
Well, it's weird because, I mean, I am a fan of The Shining, the movie, but Stanley Kubrick was not super faithful to the book. You know, The Shining, the book, and The Shining, the movie are kind of two different entities. And here we're getting a sequel, but it's sort of like, well, what is this film a sequel to, the book or the movie? Because right. It sort of seems like it has a foot in both worlds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's intentional. That kind of ambiguity can be beneficial, I think, but people might have a certain expectation going into this, right? Where if they're super big fans of The Shining, the movie, which of course is certainly very popular, well known, and they get something that feels so different than that, I don't know. I'm trying to reserve judgment on this one just because I'm just not sure what to make of it yet.
Yeah, you guys ever see, there was a little trend a few years ago where people were recutting trailers for movies and changing the genre?
Yes.
Like people did,
they turned Silence of the Lambs into a comedy.
They did Sleepless in Seattle as a horror thriller. Well, yeah. somebody did The Shining as a comedy. Yes. So, yeah, it's like, meet Jack. He's a writer. But, yeah, I would suggest Googling that if you're a fan. It's just funny anyway.
There's nothing like seeing Jodie Foster and Dr. Hannibal Lecter having a meet cute.
Yes. So a movie I kind of alluded to earlier when we talked about the Tim's not fannery of Christopher Nolan. Mm-hmm. We have Midway coming out on the 8th of November. The story of the Battle of Midway told by the leaders and the sailors who fought it. And that is starring Patrick Wilson, Luke Evans, Dennis Quaid, Ed Skrein. You know, I have to watch the trailer for this, but this sounds like a Dunkirk kind of all over again.
It looks more like a Pearl Harbor, maybe, more than Dunkirk.
Without the Michael Bay bullshit?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, there was plenty of that.
It looked like some bullshit, right?
Yeah. The cast is real weird. Like, when are we, like, how did Patrick Wilson get into, like, A-list things now? I don't know. I mean, nothing against him, but that just seems odd to me. But, I mean, I say all that, but I'm a sucker for World War II movies, so I'll probably end up watching this one.
It might be cool to see, like, on the big screen just because of the...
Yeah, I'm just a sucker for the time period, mm-hmm. and, I mean, we all know these stories, right? So, I mean, I'm not sure what new thing they're going to do here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, they may focus on, like, you know, a soldier, and we don't know what his outcome was. We may know what right. the general outcome of the war was, but we don't know what happened to this particular soldier, this particular unit, battalion, whatever you want to call them.
He probably dies. I'm just saying.
There's a hopeful note.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember seeing previews for this and thinking, oh, look, it's Pearl Harbor again.
Yeah.
But it, Andy, you're right. It probably is trying to ride the coattails of Dunkirk a little bit more. And it's questionable today what the appetite of general moviegoers for war movies is. Mm-hmm. But you don't know until you try, I guess. I mean, Dunkirk did pretty well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I did
give it
I
a shot.
See it. You know, you got Saving Private Ryan. You know, all those kind of movies.
20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, but you know what I mean? Like every year or two, we have to get one of these since then.
Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been a while, though, right? I mean, other than Dunkirk, I mean, what high-profile war movies have we really – am I just totally blanking on anything?
Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, we had a good run of them there for a while.
We did. Yeah.
So, yeah.
We had, it looks like we were in the Vietnam mode for a while too in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we haven't done much. Well, yeah, you are true. That's right. We haven't done much lately. Shit, John Cena's got a movie coming out.
Oh my god!
Little tangent. It's called Playing with Fire. A crew of rugged firefighters meet their match when attempting to rescue three rambunctious kids. Starring John Cena, John Leguizamo, and Judy Greer. Oh, God, help us.
That cast and that description does not match.
Not really. So is this a comedy?
It is a comedy, yeah.
So it's like a comedy, but it's going to have some shit gets a little bit real with their firefighters, and there's, you know, people might be briefly imperiled. Mm-hmm. For a moment of tension, and then we all have a good laugh about it later. Kind of thing.
A dance number, maybe something. I don't know. Yeah. It sounds like he's trying to follow somebody's footsteps who we won't mention right now in terms of doing like those family movies for a little while. You know, you do your action and you do family.
Yeah.
And then on November 15th, we have Charlie's Angels, reboot of the 2000 action comedy based on the 1970s television series. A new generation of private detectives working for the mysterious Charlie. This stars Naomi Scott, Kristen Stewart, Elizabeth Banks, Sam Claflin, directed by Elizabeth Banks, who's playing Bosley, no less, in this. I'm actually digging this one. I kind of have. It looks kind of cool. I didn't hate the two that came out in the early 2000s, the Drew Barrymore ones. I didn't like the whole the angels won't use guns thing. Kind of thing that she had going on there, but
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, since she was the producer, it was being done under Flower Films.
Wow,
the angels were not going to use guns.
Okay,
so but you know, they're the bad guys can, like Demi Moore, who was the bad guy in the second one, you know, had a pretty sweet set of guns there. Not talking about her physical attributes, although they are pretty sweet.
Wow.
But she had these golden guns that she used. Yes.
Good times.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it looks like mindless fun to me. I think Kristen Stewart is interesting casting because people fucking hate Kristen Stewart. I mean, just wow. People hate her. I hate her as much as some people seem to. And I think she has some talent, but this is an odd role for her. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like curious just to see how she does in it.
Mm. Yeah. She wouldn't be somebody I would think would be in the Charlie's Angels franchise.
Yeah. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
And you got Naomi Scott hot off the Aladdin. She was Princess Jasmine in the latest Aladdin movie. Yeah. Tim, you're good. Did you see the
the Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu ones?
I think I saw the... Was Bernie Mac in it also?
He was in the second one.
Okay, then I saw the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bill Murray was in it, I think.
Bill Murray was in the first one, yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I did see both.
They okay. were both well, Bosleys.
Left a strong impression.
It sure did.
All right. So after that, we have the same day, Ford versus Ferrari. American car designer Carroll Shelby and driver Ken Miles battle corporate interference, the laws of physics, and their own personal demons to build a revolutionary race car for Ford and challenge Ferrari at the 24 Hours of Le Mans in 1966. The stars Christian Bale and Matt Damon as the rivals, I'm guessing. And this is kind of, I guess, the more action-centric version of what we talked about earlier, the current war. I guess.
The sexy war. John Ford.
Yes. Wow.
I don't know. It looks cool to me. I like the cast. Matt Damon's usually my jam. Christian Bale is. The crashes looked really cool. Mm-hmm. I like the historical aspect of it. It looks pretty fun to me.
Yeah.
This, I would say this does charge me up a little bit more than sure it was. Than,
the current war?
Sexy Thomas Edison. I like this, what you named of the cast anyway, and the premise is something that I can't say I have a lot of familiarity with, but maybe could be interesting depending on how they explore it. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to it on Hulu or wherever it lands.
John Bernthal is playing Lee Iacocca.
Yes,
Punisher is playing Lee Iacocca.
Yeah, I love it.
That is.
I was thinking there was somebody else in there that I was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. About it.
Josh Lucas is in it as well.
What like time period is this taking place in?
The mid-60s, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mid-60s. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. That should be cool. I mean, you know, I dug the scenery in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was the late 60s, so.
Yeah.
I got a movie, that I don't know. I don't think Tim's going to see it. Jenny, you may see Frozen 2.
No.
No?
No.
No. I have a son.
I just don't care about Frozen. I never have cared about Frozen. I never will care about
Frozen. You got to let it go, Jenny.
I'm just letting it go.
I mean, this is going to be huge. I mean, none of us sound interested in it, but it's going to be huge. I have to just look at it in terms of how big was that first one, right? The biggest animated film of all time or something eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Which did Lion King usurp that claim?
And what? Oh, sorry.
It was like the biggest animated movie ever, eventually, I think. Frozen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
I think it did.
So, I mean, does it get the title back? I don't know. It's going to be huge. And it's placed, right around Thanksgiving. And it just, it seems like it's timed. It's got a lot of breathing room, too. I mean, the week before... Let's face it, no real competition there. The week after, well, still, I mean, it seems like every other studio is giving this a wide berth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be quite the juggernaut.
Yeah, I've heard some stories that like maybe their parents, Anna and Elsa's parents, were actually Tarzan's parents. They mm-hmm. get killed, so who knows? I mean... I enjoyed the first one. I mean, I'm a Disney mark, so if my kids say they'll see it, we'll probably, make a day of it. But, you know, it's going to make a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
There's no other way about it. And then we have coming up the same weekend, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, based on the true story of the real-life friendship between Fred Rogers and journalist Tom Junod. I guess that's how you say the gentleman's name.
Mm.
Starring... Tom Hanks, Enrico Colantino, Matthew Rhys, Chris Cooper. Is there anything Tom Hanks can't do?
Nope.
Evidently not.
Surely not.
So this is the movie that all of the old people and millennials without kids will be seeing, and the movie that all of the millennials with kids are stuck seeing Frozen 2 will wish they were seeing.
Woo! Coming in hot.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. A little interference.
A little bit of interference. We're getting hacked.
I know. It's a Russian.
Somebody's charging me up.
Oh, man.
Little things going on here, but so what were you saying about Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Just that it seems like that's the movie a lot of people who are stuck seeing Frozen are going to wish they were seeing.
Yeah, that looks cool. You guys watch, obviously. supposed to be a little bit of a surprise, but since the mute button's not working on their microphone, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, a special guest, Mr. Scott Criscolo.
You never know how to keep the fourth wall, can you? I had a great joke. The first person to ever cross over from pop to wrestling in the same night, I was going to hopefully not call Pennywise Doink, and instead you broke the fourth wall.
Well, that you couldn't mute, we heard nothing but feedback.
Well, because I crossed the streams. It's like Ghostbusters. I crossed the streams. But you had to mention technology. Way to ruin it.
Technology? It was aliens. Scott, how are you tonight, my friend?
Good Doink part two. Doink in the sewer. Is that what we're talking about? No? Oh, okay.
Doink in the
sewer. No. Good evening. Good evening, Jenny. Good evening, Mr. Cable. Always a pleasure.
Was he tempting Owen into the sewer, telling him everything floats?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, he's getting his ass kicked by Bret Hart.
Yeah. There's two doinks in the sewer. Crush is confused. Anyway.
Scott, so you popped in. We were talking about A Beautiful Day in a Neighborhood, the Fred Rogers biopic starring Mr. Tom Hanks. Do you have any thoughts on that film?
I'm a little perplexed as to why they're even doing it. Tom Hanks usually – I was confused when I saw – the trailer, only because I watched the documentary on Netflix, the actual documentary about Mr. Rogers, which is fantastic. Highly recommend it. A little dull at times, but it's a good story. And usually when you do a biopic, you're looking for some kind, I don't say dirt, but you're looking for something salacious. And to be honest, I don't know what we're going to get to Tom. Maybe this is on Tom Hanks' bucket list to just be Fred Rogers. I don't know. I mean, I'll probably go see it, and I'm sure it'll be great. I'm just kind of confused as to why do it at all. Like, what's the hook? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like when he was Sully or, you know, when he's been other characters, Charlie Wilson or stuff. So I'm kind of confused as to why you would want to do a guy who, in the grand scheme of things, was practically flawless.
You do wonder what the conflict is going to be in a movie like this.
Exactly. Like, I don't know.
Walt Disney has demons.
Yeah, I know. True. You know, but like, what did he – but he – I mean, this guy had practically none except maybe have no money. But he – I mean, he even coerced the grisliest of senators to give PBS money. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not slamming the movie or that it's going to suck or anything. I'm just curious as to why – was it just a fever dream of Tom Hanks? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good. And he looks like Fred Rogers. That's one thing about Tom Hanks. He'll settle into any role and look good doing it. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good, but I just don't know why we need it.
Jenny, what do you think of this movie?
I don't know. I think that once an actor gets, you know, he's aging, you know, quite a bit, Tom Hanks is getting older, and there's not that many roles for aging white men in Hollywood anymore. So I just feel like this is the last role he could ever play. Okay. Mr. Rogers. So, I mean, that's how to do it.
Tom Hanks' swan song is Fred Rogers.
I mean, what do you do? You got nothing else after this. So, and he's like, what? He's like super nice guy, right? In real life, Tom Hanks is like practically Mr. Rogers anyway. So why not?
and he collects ancient typewriters.
Or, oh, no, sure. Not ancient. That's not boring at all.
Antique, I'm sorry, not ancient. Antique typewriter.
Ancient, antique.
Ancient.
I know, ancient typewriters. Oh, yeah, three buttons.
Wow.
Scott, you have anything else to say about the other movie coming out on the 22nd, Frozen 2?
It's going to finish number two.
we're
and
not...
nine, and it'll make $5.5 trillion.
Scott, I'm sorry you did all that work on your list, but we're actually not doing a fall-winter movie.
It's going to make $8 trillion because a zillion kids are going. No, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. It's Frozen 2. I mean, if Disney Plus is going to make the effort to do a behind-the-scenes show on or when it launches, it's obviously a big deal. So I'm sure it'll be good. I'm not going to go see it, but I'm sure it'll be good. Make a ton of money.
Yeah. They're actually building an Arendelle in the Disney park, in the Paris park. I mean, they're getting an Arendelle, they're getting a Galaxy's Edge, and they're getting a Marvel Land in Paris.
Marvel Land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds cool.
Yep.
That's bad.
Well, they're getting, California's getting one too. Just got to work out those damn Florida rights. All right, so then coming out on the 29th of November is Knives Out. A detective investigates the death of a patriarch of an eccentric combative family. That is starring Chris Evans, Daniel Craig. Get to the cast list a little bit bigger than I had. Catherine Langford, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Toni Collette, Christopher Plummer. I mean, the trailer made this movie look great. Like Inspector Clouseau meets Hercule Poirot type movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, what'd you think of this? What do you think of this movie?
This is coming out on the 20th, you said?
29th, so it's right
29th.
After, right at okay. 27th. I mean, things change. It's coming around Thanksgiving.
I like the cast, certainly. And I have not seen the trailer, was not familiar with this film until I saw the list. But hearing the description and just the cast listing, I'm like, oh, that I could work with this. So
the thing about the trailer is that it looks like Chris Evans is just chewing up the scenery.
A douche. Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, I'm shedding Captain America's image. I'm just going to be a dick in this movie.
I'm not sure if I'm prepared for this kind of world, but...
He'll turn for Chris Evans.
I guess.
I'm a sucker for a murder mystery type thing, so I think it'll be fun.
In a trap location. Scott, mm-hmm. I know you're excited for this movie.
I'm all in. I'm all in. First of all, I love ensemble movies anyway, as indicated by my love for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is like my Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the fall. There's not one bad actor in this. I mean, we all know that Daniel Craig is chomping at the bit to not be James Bond anymore, but we'll talk more about that when we do the spring. I'm just pumped for this. And I know we're joking about it, but it's going to be great to see actors do different things. And seeing douchey Chris Evans, who probably hasn't been douchey since he was Johnny Storm, probably, and that was barely douchey, will be fun to watch. And again, ensembles kick ass. And like Jenny, I'm a sucker for murder mystery. I loved Kenneth Branagh in his Poirot in Murder on the Orient Express. I thought that was tremendous. I'm pretty sure he's doing – I don't know when it's coming out, but I'm pretty sure he's doing Death on the Nile too.
Yes, I think it comes out next year.
Yeah, I love the original. The original Death on the Nile was awesome. Anyway, Knives Out is that kind of movie. It's almost like Clue.
Yeah.
Only not as cheap looking as the first Clue was. As much as that Clue is fucking great, this obviously is better. But no, I'm excited for this. I think this is going to do well. This is a good, and it's also in a good spot of the year. It's a good holiday movie. That'll be a good movie for people to see that, you know, in Thanksgiving weekend. So I'll definitely be doing the Pop Goes the Movies for that. It's going to be pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Again, I'm a big Daniel Craig fan. I like almost everybody in that movie. So, it'll be a good whodunit. We haven't simple concepts like that. We haven't been able to see in movies in a while. So I'm excited for it. It's gonna be good.
Cool. All right. Coming out, on around the same time is Queen and Slim. A couple's first date takes an unexpected turn when a police officer pulls him over. That stars Daniel Kaluuya, India Moore, Bokeem Woodbine, Chloe Sevigny. I've seen this trailer a bit before movies. Basically, it's you know, a black couple get pulled over, and there's some, you know, mistake in identity or some other, and a cop ends up getting shot, and they end up on the run. So kind of like a, you know, Bonnie and Clyde kind of thing. They got to change their appearances. So, I mean, it looks like a good gritty drama. What do you guys think?
Hmm. Could be really good or really bad, depending on how they execute that premise. Don't know that there will be a lot of in-between on, yeah. on something like that. That said, again, we'll be looking forward to it on Hulu.
Well, I mean, Daniel Kaluuya is on kind of a run, so maybe his name will bring people in.
Yeah, I don't think he would attach himself to a real piece of shit at this point in his career.
Jenny?
No, I think it looks powerful. You know, that's a lot of modern-day problems and things to say about things that are really happening. So it's not like you said, it'll be gritty and real and kind of like a love story, you know, at the same time, like a unexpected love story in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Are we thinking Oscar potential?
Probably.
I mean, this is the time of year that they would be lining those up.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
And this is the kind of movie that they like. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott, any thoughts on Queen and Slim?
It's definitely one of those, how do I word it? Like a, I don't say a niche movie, but it's one of those movies that you got to be in the mood for or be ready for. It's not one you go in blind and go, oh, what is this? And oh shit, you know,
kind
of thing.
Yeah, it's not a casual.
It's not one of those. Oh, this looks good. Oh, Queen and Slim. This looks funny. Oh fuck, it's not funny. Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you on this being an Oscar because this is right in their fucking wheelhouse. This kind of movie, this type of movie, this type of theme, and this type of tone. So it'll probably, I'm sure it'll get some sniff. Maybe not from Best Picture, but probably the actors if they're that good. Mm-hmm. God, what was the last thing Bokeem Woodbine was in? Jesus. Well, I haven't heard his name in eons.
He was in the first Spider-Man, wasn't he? So he wasn't even Homecoming. He's the
was he?
The Shocker.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he was.
Yeah,
wow.
He was.
Shit. Yeah, no, this is, I mean, I'm sure this will do pretty well, but this is definitely one of those kind of movies that the Oscar people will look at.
I'm not going to call it Oscar bait just because it's not checking enough of those boxes, mm-hmm. but seems like it is sort of being positioned to be looked at in that way.
I agree with Tim 100%. Even if it's not, how do I word it? Even though it's not good enough, it's slotted in to get the benefit of the doubt maybe. But again, I don't think it's going to be from a movie as a whole perspective. I think if the acting is good, maybe specifically the actors could be nominated and maybe there's a good song in it or something, mm-hmm. but who knows mm-hmm. if the movie as a whole is good enough. We'll have to, time will tell on that.
All right. And then we move into December with a movie we know Jenny's going to line up for.
Oh boy.
Jumanji, The Next Level. A team of friends return to Jumanji to rescue one of their own, but discover that nothing is as they expect. The players need to brave parts unknown. Wow, maybe some wrestlers there. From arid deserts to snowy mountains in order to escape
the
world's most dangerous game. Directed by Jake Kasdan. Starring Dwayne Johnson, Karen Gillan, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Awkwafina, Danny Glover, Danny DeVito. I got to be honest, I really liked the first Jumanji. I guess not the Robin Williams one, which I enjoyed. The CG is shit, except for the one funny, slow, fat rhino. That the CG is horrible in that movie. But the remake that came out was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And I like how they're kind of twisting it around a little bit this time, where the Rock is actually has the personality of old cranky Danny DeVito. And Kevin Hart has old cranky Danny Glover in there, and Jack Black now is the fridge, the big buff football player, not the skinny little blonde. So, and then Karen Gillan obviously is the same Martha character as it was for. I have a feeling that we're going to see Nick Jonas again, and that's probably where the kid who's Stewart is, and then the other girl, Bethany, I think is probably going to be Awkwafina because we saw a glimpse of her in the trailer. But Tim, what do you think of this Jumanji: The Next Level?
I know what I'd be doing if they swapped me into Nick Jonas's body.
That said,
what a bizarre. I mean, Jumanji reimagined as a body swap comedy. Who thinks of this? You know, it's just what are we doing? Yes. Yeah, I mean that one with The Rock was like a rock movie. It was
dumb.
I guess this will be more of that. So people who really enjoyed that movie will probably be equally pleased with this one. I don't know what to say about it really. I think it's just one of those not really for me, but totally inoffensive.
Jenny, dare I ask?
Is completely offensive. And my son will probably make me go see it like he made me go see the first one.
Okay.
So I will try to take a sleeping pill and do that.
You're going to take a depression nap during
I'm going to take a depression nap during that movie.
Updating pod schedule. Jenny will not be on Pop Goes to Movies.
Nope.
Jumanji at this level. Okay, done. Scott, what about you?
I got a bad feeling this movie's going to suck, to be honest with you. I'm in Jenny's camp on this. I think this is going to be terrible. This is one of those ones. Jumanji is an iconic film. I never thought they needed to do a second one to begin with, but The Rock doesn't really care what is handed to him. It could be a literally a bowl of shit, and he'll sign on to do it. He does not discriminate when it comes to doing something. Literally, he takes every movie role ever, even if it's absolute garbage. And I think this is one of those sequels that was thoroughly unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling it's going to be – I know we're not doing the contest, but I would definitely put this as my bomb. I think it's going to be atrocious. I feel – Jenny, take as many no-dos as you can. Nap through it. Go through the trailers and just close your eyes.
No-dos? That would do the opposite.
I was going to say, don't charge me up during this. Yeah,
take
movie.
A bunch of melatonin. That's
sneak into another theater. Maybe there's something better on that. What else is coming out that day? Anyway.
What's coming out that day, actually?
I'll go see Knives Out, okay?
There you go.
Actually, it's not on our list, but you guys, this might appeal to you guys. Black Christmas. They're doing a remake of the 1974.
Which is, that's going to, well, actually, I think that's the second time it's been remade.
Starring Cary Elwes, Imogene Poots. See who else is in this movie. Yeah, I'm not going to see it, but people that I've never heard of outside of those two.
Imogene Poots is a sentence, not a name.
Sounds like Rock's next movie.
I can't come to work today. Why? I got Imogene Poots.
I got it from The Rock on his set. This is terrible. The original Black Christmas is awesome. Olivia Hussey screaming up the stairs while the guy's looking through the crowd. I mean, that's iconic. We'll talk more about Black Christmas here on the Pop Feed down the line. But getting back to this, though, this is one of those things where a sequel was just made for the sake of a sequel. And I think we're getting to that point in movies now where if there's a really awesome action or fantasy film, there has to be a sequel, even if it makes no fucking sense. This makes no sense. So I think it's going to be trash. I do feel for you, Jenny.
Yeah.
All right.
It's awful. I mean, it might be worse than any other Rock movie. It could be worse than Skyscraper.
Oh, God. No. Nothing's worse than Skyscraper.
The Die Hard ripoff, whatever the fuck that was called.
I saw Skyscraper. Holy fuck.
This
it was gonna be bad.
This is going to be worse. I just have that feeling. Wow. Because you're so excited that it's going to just – it's going to suck.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got Jumanji, the ambient adventure. Or sneak into Black Christmas, right?
Yeah, Black Christmas.
Those are your choices.
Sure. Excellent.
Then we have on December 19th, we have Bombshell. A group of women decide to take on Fox News head Roger Ailes and the toxic atmosphere he presided over the network. That is starring Margot Robbie, Robbie, sorry. Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, Alice Eve. Well, basically just a bunch of hot blondes.
Right.
Lining up to take down Roger Ailes. Jenny, what do you think? Is this
Nobody's going to watch this. Nobody cares about this. It's Fox News. What the fuck? Who gives a fuck? I don't.
Well, you do have...
I'd rather watch Harriet Tubman be badass.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I will say I'm mildly curious because Charlize Theron is playing Megyn Kelly, I believe. And from what I have seen, there is an amazing makeup and prosthetic transformation. I mean, Charlize Theron, that's kind of her thing. But she looks just like her.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. So, I don't know. I like me some Charlize, so maybe the performances and the actors are enough to carry it, but am I rushing out to the theater to see it? Nah.
Yeah, Margot Robbie's playing Kayla Papilcil. I don't know. I don't follow this stuff. Nicole Kidman's playing Gretchen Carlson. Alice Eve is playing Ainsley Earhart. Alana Eubach is playing Jeanine Pirro. So... John Lithgow is playing Roger Ailes. Scott, have you known anything about Bombshell?
I actually watched the trailer. I didn't even know what the hell it was. I was watching something on YouTube yesterday, and it just cut off in the middle, and then I watched some Bombshell, whatever the hell it was. It just started playing. I do agree with Tim. Now that I know that what I was watching, she does look a lot like Megyn Kelly. I'll give her that. So the prosthetics is good. Nicole Kidman looks nothing like Gretchen Carlson, if it even matters. I agree with Jenny. I don't give a shit. Isn't this story? This story's kind of been beaten into the ground. So I don't know why we. I mean, they did the thing on Showtime with the fuck's his name, Russell Crowe. I don't know if he's.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's Roger Ailes or if he's Murdoch. I don't know. Anyway, nobody gives a shit. I'm sure it'll do okay, but.
Yeah, you'll get the overflow from another movie, probably.
Yeah, it'll exactly.
Yeah.
Now, like the Jumanji haters.
Now, the movie that I would put as my biggest bomb, actually, because when I saw the trailer for this coming out of Comic-Con, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I know people that had to shut it off halfway through because they couldn't watch it anymore. Literally. Mm-hmm.
They were so repulsed.
It's pretty scary. I mean, look, it's Cats, based on the Broadway musical now. Now, Jenny and Tim, you didn't grow up in the area, but it was on Broadway forever. I mean, Scott, you probably remember growing up.
Yes, I do.
The commercials. It was like, what was it, like 20 years? It was at the Winter Garden Theater?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least since 82, right? Or 83, something like that.
Yeah. So it's Cats and then now forever. It played forever. The description is, now I'm going to try to do this without laughing, a tribe of cats called... The Jellicles must decide yearly which one will ascend to the Heaviside Lair and come back to a new Jellicle life. I don't even know what I just read.
Wait, you just wasted oxygen planet.
I don't know what language I spoke. And it looks horrifying. I don't know what it's Idris Elba. It plays McCavity. Rebel Wilson is Jenny Annie Dots. James Corden is Bustopher Jones. Taylor Swift is Bomba Larina.
Like a jobber.
Judy Dench is Old Deuteronomy. I'm not making this up. I am reading this on IMDb.
Judy Dench. What has her life come to?
I don't know, really. She goes from M to this?
This is horrible.
Ian McKellen is Gus the Theater Cat.
Now, what?
That's kind of a normal name.
What the fuck are these people doing?
Ray Winstone is Growl Tiger.
Ugh.
I think maybe they thought they were doing like an animated movie called Cats.
Anime.
Let me get through the rest of these people. Laurent Borgio is so good.
You mean we have to put these costumes on?
You're going to make me look like a cat.
Jennifer Hudson is Grizzabella.
You should have killed me when you had the chance, Charles.
Naughty pussy, naughty, naughty pussy. Now to invent a catapult.
Larry Bergeau is Plato. There's a Cassandra in there. Laurie Davidson is Mr. Mephistopheles.
Good grief.
Jason Derulo plays Rum Tum Tugger.
Oh, I guess got a Rum Tum Tugger.
I'm
just going to get that in the back of the theater because I'm not watching the movie.
Talk about your WCW Saturday night names, huh?
The bottom of the fucking popcorn bucket.
Yeah, that looks like to use a phrase that you like to use, Scott, it looks like a shit show. It really does.
That's got hot track. Well, I'll get my comments in a minute, but yeah.
The only thing I can see being positive about this is the soundtrack, and that is it.
Yes.
It looks like the drizzling shits, but it also looks like one of those things that kind of knows it's going to be the drizzling shits, and there's a certain segment of people who are going to be super, super into it. It almost, I mean, I know it's like an established property, but it reminds me a little bit of, and work with me here, but like Moulin Rouge, which is an extremely divisive movie.
Yeah, it's very depressing.
And yeah, but I mean, there are people who love that movie, and I think that's going to be the case for this thing. The
mini John Leguizamo freaks me out in that movie.
Oh my God, everything about that trailer freaks me out.
Moulin Rouge, I'm talking about.
That
too.
Still.
That too.
So, but Cats is just kind of going to be worth, I'm not going to buy a ticket for it, but will be worth watching just for the slow train crash that I think it's going to be. So, that's definitely like a get drunk and party with friends kind of movie and watch this piece of shit.
Yeah, maybe people will buy tickets to that and sneak into another movie.
Perhaps so.
Could be. Scott, have any thoughts about Cats?
No.
We know you hate Cats.
No, well, that too. it debuted at the Winter Garden Theater on October 7th, 1982. And lasted
the day before I was born.
Yeah. And lasted until September 10th, 2000. 13 previews and 7,485 performances. So on Broadway, I'm sure it was great. But it looks downright frightening. It really does. It doesn't even look like soft and it looks frightening. It looks like one of those weird anime, I don't even know what. It looks downright creepy. On top of the fact they stuck it on the stupidest fucking day of the year to premiere. What dipshit thought to put it here and I don't want anybody to tell me it's a quote alternative. That's a dumb excuse. If they wanted this movie to make any fucking money whatsoever, which it's not going to anyway, I would have put it either the week before or maybe the first weekend after New Year's. But on this day, dumb. Fucking dumb, period.
Yes, it is not counter-programming.
and I agree with Jenny that maybe the soundtrack, but I bet you that's probably not even – well, if it's got Jennifer Hudson and a few others, I'm sure the soundtrack won't suck. But
watch it wins Best Makeup at the Oscars.
Oh, God.
Most frightening makeup?
Yeah.
Is The Rock in it too? Because he's in everything, so maybe he's a giant cat too. without being named, who knows? But no, this was inevitable. I'm surprised it took them this long. Maybe they needed to perfect the CGI, which clearly they didn't anyway.
Right, yeah. They were waiting on technology to catch up.
Yeah, and it still looks like a fucking movie. But, yeah, I know people that hated the musical and walked out.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, this is an acquired taste. And, again, had they put it on – I can almost guarantee – I mean, I can't see it staying on this date. I can't. It's just idiotic. And we'll explain why in about 10 seconds.
It should be like a February release or something.
Yeah, or I mean, at least maybe the first weekend after New Year's.
Look, honey, I don't think it matters. Like, I just don't think it matters.
Oh, no, I don't either, Jenny. I'm just trying to look for the any kind of a glowing light for them to make anything, just putting it where it was. But I agree. I mean, it's going to suck. It might be just as much of a bomb as the second Jumanji, in my opinion. But
Andy, didn't you have a conspiracy theory that they purposely put it on this date to kind of just torpedo it and bury it?
Could be. Yeah, that's quite possible.
Maybe.
Just let it fly under the radar as much as possible.
Literally.
Yeah.
Get take the write down. Jenny, say you have to see one of these two movies. You have no choice.
Don't answer.
Which one are you seeing? Cats or Jumanji the Next Level?
Oh, Jesus.
Walk out the door.
And,
don't even
and forget it. Forget about your son making you go see one of them.
Walk out the door. He's making it worse. Just walk out the door.
Can I get really, really high first?
You could do whatever you want.
I would get high and watch Cats.
I'm even more fucking petrified.
I know. That would scare me.
I start throwing shit at the screen. They think they'd be coming through.
Why are there giant cats in here, man?
Thank God movie theaters sell Jack Daniels, for fuck's sake. Makes every shitty movie better.
I could have used some.
Yeah, I think I would have the same answer, to be honest with you. Although, the problem is, if you see Cats on the day it opens, well, hopefully you can stick around at the theater for something else as a palate cleanser.
There'll be a parking spot available, hopefully. All right, well, speaking of that date, here we go. This is the movie everybody's been waiting for. 42 years in the making, the end of an era. It is Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. The surviving resistance faces the First Order once more in the final chapter of the Skywalker saga. Directed by J.J. Abrams, it stars Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, Dom Hall Gleason, Kerry Russell, Mark Hamill, Oscar Isaac, Lupita Nyong'o, Carrie Fisher, Ian McDiarmid, Dominic Monaghan. Wow, he's in it too. John Boyega.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of an era. Scott, will save you for last because we know you have a lot to say on this. We'll start with you, Tim. The Rise of Skywalker. What do you say?
Well, it's funny. I believe on our summer movie wager episode earlier this year, I may have speculated openly that while I thought Avengers Endgame would be the movie of the summer, I didn't think it would necessarily be the movie of the year because it would have Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker to contend with by year's end. I thought that I kind of gave the edge in terms of box office to Star Wars. Just seemed like the easy pick at the time. And now, got to say I'm doubting that, considering that Avengers Endgame became worldwide the highest grossing film of all time. So, does Star Wars become that? I mean, they would have to overtake Avengers Endgame internationally, which, as we've seen, we seem to have, for whatever reason, a hard time selling Star Wars, particularly to China, but overseas in general. Maybe domestically I could see it doing better a little bit than Endgame, but I don't know. And reflecting on all of this, I'm sort of looking back on Disney's handling of this franchise. And for better or worse, things like The Last Jedi and Solo kind of took the wind out of Star Wars sales. They don't really have the momentum they would like going into this. That said, I do believe everybody who was going to see this movie in the first place is still going to see this movie. I can't imagine these other two films, you know, taken for whatever they were, that it has deterred anyone from really seeing this and seeing how this saga concludes. But I don't know. You kind of wish maybe the enthusiasm and the mood of the zeitgeist was a little bit different, so to speak. We do have J.J. Abrams back, and you figure this is going to be maybe more in line with The Force Awakens than The Last Jedi. Some would look at that as a course correction. I don't know myself. I don't want Star Wars to play it safe. I do want it to have a satisfying conclusion. I want that
story to move something in me emotionally, but I hope it's not just kind of regurgitated nostalgia just served back up to me. Like, I'm sort of, I know Star Wars has kind of become that for people, but it's just not what I want out of the property and the concept at this stage in my life. But we'll see. Maybe it's more of a home-cooked meal. I don't know. But I, yeah, who am I kidding? I'm going to be right out there with everybody. We're going to have our spoiler chats like we always do. And, oh, my God, who's seen it? Who hasn't seen it? When can we talk about it? It's going to be that phenomenon that Star Wars kind of always is with these major releases. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be here sooner than we think.
Yeah. So, in terms of domestic, mm-hmm. you know, Avengers Endgame is number two all time in terms of domestic, with, according to Box Office Mojo, $858.2 million in gross domestically. Mm-hmm. Now, The Last Jedi is currently at ninth with 620.
Right. But what's one?
Number one is Star Wars: The Force Awakens, right. $936,662.25.
Yeah.
So so it definitely has the pedigree, no pun intended, to beat Endgame. You know, in mm-hmm. terms of overall, I mean, for the year, you know, unfortunately, it's coming out with 11 days left to go in the year. So, I mean, if we would give it the same amount of time, I guess, that we would Endgame if we were playing some kind of game, you know, I think I think I agree with you, Tim. I think it'll beat it domestically, but I don't know if it'll touch it worldwide.
I don't think it's going to touch it worldwide. I really don't. Just because look at the performance of other Star Wars movies worldwide. Yeah. There's a pretty wide gap. I mean, they're up there, don't get me wrong, but there's a wide gap between their performance domestically and their performance internationally.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, what are your thoughts on The Rise of Skywalker?
Okay, so I was not that big of a fan of the previous movie. That being said, I'm still hopeful that this movie can give me some of the feels that I was trying to get from the previous movie, and that it failed to give me. But I don't know. It's sad. It's sad, right? It's like, I think everybody's ready to be done with this, you know, as far as Star Wars wise, you know, there's so many other stories you could tell. Skywalkers aren't the only people in the galaxy, right? So we can move on from them after we tell this story. I just want them to have a really good ending. Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel disappointed. I don't want to feel like y'all felt about Game of Thrones. I just want it to be good, and I don't want to say happy, but like, yeah, I mean, some sort of like emotional closure is all I'm really looking for. Mm-hmm. And Abrams is good at that, and there's a lot of potential, and I am hopeful. Mm-hmm. But still in the back of my mind, I keep thinking, I don't know, somebody's going to fuck something up.
let's hope that it does the franchise justice. Now,
yeah, that's all I could really ask.
Now, Scott, I feel like we're kind of bookending, because on the last episode of Year in Pop, 1977, you, me, the Doctor, and Mr. D'Amato discussed the original Star Wars. And now we're coming to the conclusion of the Skywalker mm-hmm. saga. What are your thoughts going into this movie that's coming up in just under, what is it, 4 months from now? Yeah.
It's arguably, at least over the last 42 years, and even before that, although before that you didn't really see franchises other than James Bond probably, this is probably the greatest franchise in the history of cinema. It's made the most money. It's created the greatest buzz of anyone's childhood, whether it's toys, TV. And I will say this before I get to my very subjective opinions based on the 42 years that I've enjoyed it. I think people are skeptical only because they're scared. They want this to be great because it is the last one. And I think what I find odd, it's the same company, just different. I always goof, Andy, when we do shows. It's the same company. It's just two different sides of the hallway.
Yep.
You've got the Marvel side of the hallway and the Lucasfilm side of the hallway, but it's all the same money and it's all the same people. Mm. Yet nobody was panicking before Endgame. Yes, I know you can say that Infinity War was better than Last Jedi if we're trying to, you know, line them up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But you don't line them up because you can't line them up. You don't line them up. They don't match. Having said that, I think people are skittish, but at the same time, I think this will comfortably beat Force Awakens domestically, and I think it will beat Endgame internationally for one reason. Wow. For one reason. The size of the fan base is bigger. Because not only are you going to get the double dippers, because it is very hard to find anybody who doesn't like both. They don't have to love both, but they're going to go see both. Marvel fans... Most Marvel fans are Star Wars fans. It's pretty – there's rarely do you see anybody who loves one and hates the other. Even if they like one more than the other, they like both. So you already got that down. And on top of that, now you're going to get what MCU doesn't have, and it's not their fault. It's just time. Is, you know, the MCU was 10 years or 11 years. Well, this is 42 years. So you're going to have fans who don't give a shit about Marvel, who didn't read comic books but watched Star Wars, who went to see it in May of 1977, who have been fans their whole lives, who are going to go see it. So not only do you get the MCU crowd, but now you're going to get extras that the MCU crowd didn't have, that Endgame didn't have. So to me, it's just volume of viewers that's going to put Rise of Skywalker over the top. It's not going to suck. Kathleen Kennedy won't allow it. And that conglomerate won't allow it. And JJ won't allow it. It's not going to suck. Now, will people have subjective opinions on it? Of course they will. But they're going to go see it first, so the money's already going to be spent. And this is one of those movies, because it's the last one, I think people are going to generate their own opinions. Last Jedi was different because it was the middle. So when people said, Last Jedi was average, you could probably wait till it goes on Blu-ray. Okay. But this one, I think everybody's going to want to go see regardless whether another person says it sucks or not, because it's the last one. And I respectfully disagree with you, Tim, about buzz, because 6 weeks earlier, on November 12th, Disney Plus is going to launch. Mm. And with The Mandalorian, and all the movies are going to be on there, and Rebels, and the seventh season of – well, that's not going to be till February. But you could rewatch the first six seasons of Clone Wars. Star Wars is going to be in everybody's face for like 6 weeks. And yeah, they're going to – I'm sure they're going to pump
that campaign. Yep.
They're going to pump the shit out of it when that launches on November 12th. So it will be hot come Thursday night, December 19th, which is when I'm going to see it, obviously. And
that's probably the wrong word. It's more just kind of the mood – of the room, I guess, sort of like what Jenny was saying about because I'm down on The Last Jedi, let's say, you know, I'm kind of going into this with some trepidation, but yeah, still going to see it.
I think respectfully, I think that buzz is I think that's faded. I think I'm not disagreeing with anybody that Last Jedi was not everybody's cup of tea, but I don't think just my personal opinion, I don't think anybody cares at this point. Mm-hmm. I think people are like, all right, Last Jedi was okay, but this is going to be awesome. And I just feel that because it's such a wider berth of fan base, 10 years as compared to 42 years. I just think the volume of people is going to put it over the top. I mean, I was kind of exaggerating more for gimmick purposes on these chats that it's going to make $3 billion. It's not going to make $3 billion. That's impossible. No movie will ever make $3 billion. No movie will ever make $3 billion until 20 years from now when tickets are $20. But I think it could make $2.5 billion and maybe even make 2.75. But again, that comes down to, I think it's going to make $1 billion domestic, guaranteed.
Something has to eventually. I mean, that's, you know, Force Awakens wasn't super far from it. And right. You got to figure that's kind of the next goalpost. Something's going to do it. And
something is going to do it.
Star Wars is as good a bet as any other.
I agree. I mean, until whenever the second Avatar comes out. But is that even good enough anymore? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
the mood of the room being down on.
There's going to be like 9 of those. So I think I don't know how many of those you can actually put up with. But anyway, that's a different story for another day. But I think my point is, just based on the volume of fan base, you're already going to get the MCU viewers, the Endgame fans, or how do I word it? Those that went to see Endgame are going to see Episode 9. So you've already got that crew covered. And then there's the extra who watched Star Wars in the 70s and 80s that probably don't give a crap about comic books that are going to come back and see it to end the saga that started in their childhood. There's an emotional attachment to Star Wars that I don't think any other franchise has. Maybe Indiana Jones, but I wouldn't even go that far. And I watched the trailer. The teaser trailer was nice, but I watched the what is it? The D23 or whatever it is. That I guess it's a new trailer that came out.
That just came out, yeah.
Yeah, and it you know, for a kid who's watched it his whole life, it was pretty big for me because it was pretty much a montage of the whole thing from beginning to end. And to see the end happen. And Jenny, you're absolutely right. I don't disagree with you. It's time to move on after this. That's fine. I'm cool with it. That's why I'm excited about shows like The Mandalorian and we're having a Kenobi show and all that. I'm pumped for that stuff. We need gap fillers. But this movie is just going to be the coronation and the capping of the greatest film franchise of all time. And it may not break Endgame overall, because I think you might be right, Tim. I think maybe internationally it may not have that same grab.
For some reason, like China just seems way more into Marvel movies than they do. And I know I'm emphasizing China just because it's a huge market.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Billion fucking people.
And I mean, I'm just looking and it's Endgame internationally outperformed the highest ranking Star Wars film, which was The Force Awakens, by almost $800 million, which I don't know what it is. I don't know why, you know, folks show up for the Marvel movies and not Star Wars, but it just seems to not click as much overseas as it does domestically. For that reason.
Yeah, no, you make a valid point, and I think that may hold it back. The only thing I think that gives it an edge, it's the last one.
Yeah,
But I do think it will be $1 billion domestic. It'll be the first $1 billion domestic.
I could see
that I agree with. But you're gonna hear more about this movie and others and the franchise in general later on in the year here on the Place Be Nation Pop Feed and on PlaceBeNation.com. But for me, it's just the end of a childhood spent with my ships and my Millennium Falcon and my little guys and I'm not the only one. I'm in the majority. To see the end of an era. I'm sure it'll have its moments where you'll be like, huh? But I don't, again, I just, they didn't, I don't think they were going to, Kevin Feige and those guys were not going to allow Endgame to suck. And I'm sorry, I just don't think JJ or Kathleen or anybody else at that whole conglomerate is going to allow this to suck either. And in the grand scheme of things, this is almost a bigger deal to them than Endgame is. Just because of the, how much they paid for the franchise. And how much it means to them to own it. So it just, I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think
they must have something to prove here. I mean, it's
yes,
because people are a little bit doubting now. Right. So they want to maybe prove people wrong and do what they would consider a course correction
yep.
To address some of the criticisms that
have come out of recent years. So
yeah, well, you know, it's they're caught between, they're caught. You know, most of them are over a barrel because people criticized episode 7 because it felt too much like episode 4, and people criticized episode 8 because they didn't know what the fuck they were watching. Mm. So they were kind of screwed either way. But I just feel that this is the moment for them when they can move forward. I mean, Marvel now has to move forward with whatever they plan on doing. And it's uncharted waters for the Star Wars franchise when the Skywalker saga ends. Am I looking forward to it? I'm very excited for it. But this means too much to them to blow it. Maybe I'm just an eternal optimist, and that's fine. I've always thought that way. I've always been a glass half full person. So I just feel great, and I feel confident that this will be the big grand slam that everyone expects it to be. Will it break Endgame globally? I'd like to think it will, but it may not. But will it break a billion domestically? Yes, it will.
Yeah, and I mean, I talked about Disney Plus. Don't discount that Galaxy's Edge in Orlando is opening, you know, in August, and with the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run ride, and then the Rise of the Resistance attraction is opening in December, like literally like right before this movie comes out. And Anaheim is opening in January, but you know, it's going to be Star Wars everywhere.
I have a hot take, by the way. Speaking of Galaxy's Edge, sorry to interrupt, Andy, but I want to get it out of my head.
Yeah.
To even hammer home Jenny's point about moving on, and this is not a spoiler because obviously it's never been seen, but this is my hot take, and it's probably going to make me cry like Han Solo dying did. The Millennium Falcon will blow up.
Oh no. Man.
Wow.
I think. Why
would they do that?
I don't know. Somebody will shoot it and blow it up. I don't know.
Is Lando going to blow up in the Millennium Falcon?
That I don't know. I mean, if they want to really seal the deal and end it and not have any and start having the new crew stand on their own, maybe.
Chewie and Lando and Leia all blow up in the Millennium Falcon.
Well,
I mean, the Millennium Falcon,
it's kind of cheap.
I mean, I know they did it with Hondo, whatever her name is, where she blew through the Star Destroyer. But I mean, I could see the Millennium Falcon like kind of sacrificing.
Yep.
You know, to save the Resistance.
Yep. I do too. Anyway, that's just a hot take.
Wow. Could be. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they got to say goodbye to this. I mean, it's a huge galaxy. I mean, we got two other trilogies coming, one from Rian Johnson and one from the Game of Thrones creators.
Awesome.
So there's going to be a lot of stories in parts of the galaxy that we haven't even touched yet. So
to hammer home Jenny's point, we got to move on. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, I'm being nostalgic for this movie because it's pretty much been the basis of most of my life as a fan, but she's exactly right. I'm ready when the credit goes up, the music plays, I'll shed a tear, and then I'm ready for whatever's next.
And
100%.
I think Disney Plus is just going to add to this because all those offshoot movies that we were getting supposedly, you know, had Disney Plus really been where it is now, where what's with the works, Solo would not have been a theatrical release. It would have been an anthology series on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. That's going to fill the gap.
Like a mini series.
Like
or
we were supposed to get a bounty hunter movie. And that's what The Mandalorian's turning in. We were supposed to get a movie on the Hutts. We were supposed to get a movie. I forget what the other one was that I had heard about.
Obi-Wan.
Boba Fett.
Yeah, Obi-Wan. Yeah, Boba Fett. Yeah, it was the Bounty Hunter.
The Mandalorian is in a roundabout way. Well, the best part about Disney Plus is we don't need movies anymore. Why does everything have to be a movie? I was talking to, Andy, you know Tex. Sits across from me. He's going to be on future episodes, by the way. He'll be making his Placement Nation debut. We were saying, why does everything have to be a movie? We don't need to do a billion movies anymore. Now we can stretch out things and build characters and create characters and get to like them or get to hate them and let things marinate and grow instead of having to make everything 2.5 hours. And that's what makes Disney Plus great. That's the advantage for both Marvel and all the franchises can benefit from it. Not everything has to be a movie now. We don't need a Loki movie. We don't need a Moon Knight movie. We don't need a Winter Soldier and a movie and Falcon. Now we can let these characters grow from week to week. Disney Plus, best thing that's going to happen to all of us in pop culture. It's amazing.
Yes,
and for seven fucking.
And being I am a day one D23 member, and I got an email offer for them. Let me see. It says exclusive for D23 members for 1 week only. Save $23 per year on a $3 Disney Plus prescription subscription.
3 year, you mean 3 year?
Yeah, 3 year. So
you know what it comes out to, because it's 70 per year, you're pretty much getting 3 years for the price of two.
Yeah.
Is what it comes out to. It's pretty good.
I'm gonna do it. Do it. Do it.
I'm doing bundle.
Do it.
Do it. Man, Netflix is gonna look like fucking Walmart of streaming. So like, fuck them. I'm gonna cancel those hoes the day Disney Plus drops.
Yeah. And Hulu's like the step, you know, the cousin.
Well, Hulu's going to get all the stuff that they don't want to put on Disney Plus, basically. Well,
Hulu's pretty much – I mean, it's pretty much been established that Hulu's going to become the mature – because apparently from what I've read, Disney Plus is not going to have anything streaming that's going to be worse than PG-13, which means we will not probably see Deadpool on Disney Plus.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. That stuff's going to go on Hulu. They're going to treat Hulu more like the more mature stuff. Anyway, I read that, so that's cut in stone. So anyway.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, that's what we got coming up in this fall-winter movie season. We have a lot of great movies, it looks like, you know, more of a variety than the summer has. You know, we got our horror movies. We got some action flicks. We got some good dramas coming. And, of course, you know, these couple of big blockbusters, you know, no Marvel, no DC this year. So it's just Star Wars is just going to dominate. Either, you know, they just stayed away on purpose or just they couldn't get their shit together to have a movie out now. But anyway, so let's kind of go around and see what everybody's got coming up. Jenny, what do you got coming up here at Place to Be Nation?
Well, I'm recording four podcasts this week, so... when you hear this, be on the lookout for a new Freak Out Drive-In. Ooh. And a new Geek and Sassy, hopefully, and a new Extreme Three-Way Dance on the wrestling feed.
Wow. Just you're everywhere. You're omnipresent, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Tim, what do you got coming up?
Well, just yesterday, as of the time of this recording, I sat down with the boys to record a little bit of Marvel Age. So around the time you're hearing this, you can also look for another installment of the Marvel Age podcast. It's going to be covering part one of our look at 1972 in Marvel Comics. That's going to be a three-part year. So look for that on the Place to Be Nation pop feed very soon. Easy for me to say. I'll get it right eventually. And on Twitter, you can find me at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8.
Jenny, what's your Twitter?
Mine is Jenny Cruz 2814.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what do you got going on here at Place to Be Nation?
Well, as I said earlier, I went from one side, one stream crossing to the other. I did the Place to Be podcast tonight, myself, JR, and Peter Winson. We did the November 89 Saturday Night's Main Event, which just dropped as we speak. And then later this
Phil
week,
Collins of this, you did both sides of Live
Aid. Exactly. I did both sides of Live Aid. Exactly.
The Phil Collins of Place to Be Nation.
Phil Collins of Place to Be Nation. And then this week we'll be dropping the newest episode of Main Event. Myself, the Godfather Nate Milton, and Mr. Steve Willey. So that'll be this week as well. And as I alluded to, it's going to be an exciting fall on Place to Be Nation, particularly on the pop feed here. In the month of October, we're going to have a lot of fun with the month of October, not just for Halloween, but for horror movies as well. So stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of fun in the month of October. And as I mentioned, as we get towards the end of the year, we will continue discussing Star Wars and its pop culture legacy as we conclude the main franchise story on December 20th. So stay tuned. We have fun next 4 months at placetobenation.com and both the wrestling and Tim? Pop feeds. We'll practice. It's all good. Yeah.
Timing was off, but the enthusiasm was really there.
It was. I concur with you, sir.
That's what she said.
You got an A for effort. So for me, we just had Year in Pop drop. Scott, we discussed it earlier during the live read.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of our probably our best show up to date.
Mm-hmm.
I said it was the Dr. G show, basically.
Showcase show. It was.
Talked about The Stranger, the blackout, the Yankees with Jackson hitting the three home runs, lots of great movies and stuff. So a lot of fun. Also, right before that was Looking Forward, Looking Back, Sports Number One, which you were also on with Mr. Peter Winston and the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. In terms of what's coming up in a couple of weeks, we have the big summer movie wrap-up, summer movie wager results. As Tim talked about earlier, he's been doing some math, and he's not sure he knows who won. But,
He has a hunch.
He hasn't shared it. But, it's coming to the end. Labor Day is the cutoff. That's when all the points are tallied. And then, of course, the biggest bomb could make a difference. So we will see who won that, and we'll give you our analysis on what we liked, what didn't like, what didn't even come out, as a couple of us had on our list. Talking about you, Artemis Fowl. Not a bird movie. And then we have
the leprechauns just couldn't pull it off.
The leprechauns. That's going to be part of our spring movie preview.
It's not going to be on the spring movie wager.
It has a spring movie wager.
Get this nonsense again. I can't believe we went through all that for a movie that didn't even come out. You know.
Well, it's tomfoolery for nothing.
Funny though.
It was. It was. We miss you, Miranda. Get well soon. Also, look for new episodes of Laugh in Theater coming soon. Not sure when or who will be on the show. Still working on that. And a great debate. Hopefully will come out before the end of September. Make sure you go to placemanation.com, like Scott alluded to. New articles, new content. New columns, everything, lots of new stuff coming to the site. We have a kind of like not a refresh, but kind of a renewed push to get more stuff up there. So also check out both feeds, the wrestling feed and here on the Pop feed, as well as go and vote in the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament now in the third round. Can you believe it? Started with 512 down to 128, and we will be crowning a winner probably within the next, I want to say, month. Or so, give or take a week. But I want to thank you guys for being on the show. Scott, thank you for making Place of Nation history tonight and popping in, coming over.
You're welcome. It was an honor.
Jenny and Tim, thank you very much for joining me. It's always a pleasure podcasting with both of you together or separately. Doesn't matter. You know, you guys are great. And we love you here.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. So, for Miss Jennifer Smith, Mr. Tim Capel, Mr. Scott Criscolo, I am Andy Afton. Thank you for looking forward, looking back, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care there.
Chocolate? Fucking chocolate?
Oh, God.